Sakyamuni, then Guanyin Bodhisattva, Sister Li will help us to start the Mahayana Puja. Then we will read the Heart Sutta in Mandarin, followed by the English version, then the Theravada Puja. Okay, we pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨。波野婆罗蜜多心经，观自在菩萨行深波野婆罗蜜多时，照见无蕴皆空，度一切苦厄，舍利子，舍不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色，受想行识亦复如是。舍利子，是诸法空相，无生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减，是故空中无色，无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舍身意，无色声香味，诸法无眼界，乃至无意志界，无无明意，无无明尽，乃至无老死意，无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智意，无得已，无所得故，菩提萨多依波野婆罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃。三世诸佛依波野婆罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提，故知波野婆罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚，故说波野婆罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
OK, 萨德萨德萨德、We will continue with the Heart Sutta in English、We will recite together the Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five skandhas and saw that they are all empty. He crossed beyond all sufferings and difficulty. Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristic. They are not produced, nor destroyed, nor defiled, nor pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, feeling, cognition, formation, or consciousness. No eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, or mind. No sight, sound, smell, taste, object of touch or dhammas. No feel of the eye, up to and including no feel of mind consciousness. And no ignorant or ending of ignorant. Up to and including no old age and death, or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulating, no extinction, no way, and no understanding, and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. ultimately Nibbana, all Buddhas of the three period of time attain Anuttara Samyat Sambodhi through reliance on Prajna Paramita. Therefore, know that Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate paragate parasamgate bohiswatha. Okay, we will continue with the Theravada Puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha, Kundalini Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Okay, very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We shall now recite the opening verse for the Heart Sutta. Then we start. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, we shall now turn on to the notes, the short notes. 24 Heart Sutta short notes. Okay. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta described or discussed. First part is explanation and recap of previous lesson. So here I repeat a little bit of the essential one that we go through. The true purpose and intent of meditation, this one very important, is to finally develop the wisdom to liberate the mind. Nothing else. This is the true purpose and intent, finally. So that one is no longer deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind to grasp and cling onto the I, onto it as the I and the me and the mind. This is the five aggregates of form and mind. If you have delusion, you will continue to grasp and cling and hold, thinking that it's real, thinking that that is what you are. Then everything become like very real to you. That's why you have attachment to yourself, your own form and mind. Everything that you come to perceive, how you feel, your emotion, your mental activity, your thinking, your views, your opinion, everything that you become conscious of is like so real. That's why you cling and you hold. And this five aggregate of form and mind, if you cannot see clearly and break free and liberate your mind, you will constantly be trapped. And nothing can free you except wisdom. Always remember, not all the fantastic meditation, not all the things that people tell you. So this is the true purpose and intent, okay? Understanding this true purpose and intent of meditation is very important, because meditation is not only about developing calm and tranquil mind alone. Wisdom is more important. One only need to understand why one's mind is not peaceful. The main reason being the hindrance of mind are there due to the lack of the spiritual faculties needed to overcome them. When there is no more craving, means when you have wisdom, when there is no more craving, the mind is naturally peaceful because it can accept the reality of the moment via wisdom. When you can accept things as they are and the reality of the moment, what happens? You don't react in a krena. When you don't react, there is no like and dislike in there. Then you are peaceful, krena. That's how wisdom bring about equanimity, enlightenment factor. That's how you become free. Your mind is unwavering, collected, because of wisdom, nothing else. It's not a conditioned state. So this part is very important. Wisdom allow one to see things as they are via the unwavering mind in upeka or equanimity. Mind that does not stir anymore, which means the mind is free, liberated, and no longer deluded. So this is what meditation is all about, okay? So don't be deluded. So whereas the meditation that is taught via focusing, looking and noting, they are mostly thought based. Whereas the one via the silent mind in sati or mindfulness or pure awareness before the knowing without thought, to awaken to phenomena is mindfulness based or sati based. Is no more thought-based because the thoughts are not involved. So only through wisdom is the mind free. This wisdom cannot be learned. It has to be awakened. So only through awakening via the direct seeing with the true mind without thought, then only the wisdom can come. So the reason being, all those thought-based, you cannot develop the wisdom, because the wisdom is beyond thought, beyond mind. So the next sentence or paragraph will explain. Attachment to Dhamma as knowledge can also be a form of delusion. Wisdom is an understanding and not a knowledge. There is nothing to know, because all knowing is via the thought as knowledge. Whereas wisdom is an awakening, a realization which is beyond the thought, and it is not rigid. So this part is very important. You remember the analogy? the finger pointing at the moon. Huh? What is the finger? The finger is like a pointer, isn't it? Point towards the moon, isn't it? So you want to understand the moon, you must look beyond the finger, isn't it? Correct or not? So when it comes to Dhamma, it's the same. Your Dhamma is like pointer to point towards the enlightenment. Understand or not? So to realize the enlightenment, you have to look beyond the Dhamma. Understand or not? You have to let go completely and go beyond. You have to see the truth, the reality, and awaken to it. Yeah. Not to hold on to the pointer. Not to grasp onto the Dhamma. When you cling onto the Dhamma, you become attached, deluded. And when you grasp onto the Dhamma, your mind is not free. Understand or not? Just like Shen Xiu, he just got trapped because he wants to have a pure mind that has no negativity, because he said the Dhamma says so. So he was holding on to all the mindfulness, all the Dhamma, all the wholesome thought. But not realizing that these are all created by mind, duality. So when you understand, you break free. Just like Hui Ning, he knew. Originally there was nothing. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad, no wholesome, unwholesome. All these come from the mind, the thought, the delusion that divide. So because of that, there are all conditions arising. All these duality, they are creation from the same source. So if you create one side, automatically the other side will arise. So you cannot wipe them off. Understand or not? The delusion is when thought starts to create good and bad, then thought want to do away with bad and hold on to good. What are you trying to do? You cannot, yeah. Because you use that thought to create, yeah. Then after that you want to do away with half of what he created. But these two come together, understand or not? When there is no bad, there is no good, understand or not? When you have a definition of what is good, if it's not like that, automatically the other side appears there. So when you have good, you will have bad. When you have right, you will have wrong. So you cannot wipe off one, understand? You must have wisdom to know that both come from the same, the discriminative mind that discriminate, that divide, that create this duality. So when you understand it is through a delusion that create, then you no longer be deluded by it. You don't hold, you don't cling. You see things as they are. Then you realize, like the Buddha said, imas mean sati idang hoti. Imas mean asati idang ahoti. The meaning is, imas mean sati means when this arise, that arise. Nasana. When you create good, automatically bad arise. Imas mean asati. When this ceases, that ceases. Understand or not? So when you don't have delusion to cling, both also disappear. Understand or not? Understand or not? Because it's from the same source. Understand or not? Through delusion you divide. After you divide, you try to do away with half of what you create. Impossible. That's why the thought don't understand. Understand or not? The thought create duality. Then he said, this is bad, this is good. Hold on to good. Reject bad. What are you doing? There is light and dislike. Understand or not? That's why Shen Xiu is doing that. Polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. Because he thinks, meditation is avoid evil to good. If you every time have to be ever mindful and create all the good, what are you doing? You are all the time trying to be pure, isn't it? Trying to practice to be wholesome, to be pure. You cannot live life, understand? It's not about practice anymore. It's about wisdom, understanding. So when I understand, I no need to practice, understand? Understand? When you're skillful already, you understand already, why you still want to practice? That's why the finger pointing at the moon. You don't hold on to the Dhamma anymore, Anatta. That wisdom free you. No need to hold on to anything. You understand. When you understand, you're free. No need to cultivate anymore. No need to practice. That's why, like Shen Xiu is still deluded. He's still practicing to be mindful, Anatta. That every time, polish until it shines, no evil, no negativity, no unwholesomeness. This one is at the thought level you do that. But after that, when you purify your mind, is to develop the wisdom. The moment the wisdom come about, there is nothing to do, Anatta, like winning. Originally, there was nothing. If you don't arise a delusion to cling to the thought that divide, you don't have to do anything, isn't it? Correct, huh? Just like swimming, isn't it? When you understand your natural body is buoyancy, you don't have to learn how to float anymore, isn't it? You just let go, the body will float, isn't it? And this is a natural thing. So the moment you understand, you don't need to do anything, understand or not? When you don't understand, you do a lot of what they call stupid thing, understand? In Cantonese, they say, Hang Yin Wong Lo, you understand? Yen Wang, cultivation. Because you don't understand. That's why you create your own misery, your own suffering, your own delusion when you don't understand. The moment you understand, your mind is free. No more problem. But when you don't understand, a lot of theory. This is right, this is wrong, you must do this, you must not do that, you must be ever mindful, you must... All this is all theory, understand? The moment you understand, there is nothing to talk, understand? Everything is just the way it is. Because the mind that understands, the wisdom is there. Okay? Yeah. Then we go on. Eh? So now we go to part two. Eh? Heart Sutta on feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. So the Heart Sutta says, so too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Then Heart Sutta reminded Sariputta, he said, Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor decrease. This is talking about the unconditioned. Eh? So, the conditioned world is where the Dhamma is, anasana. But when you realize the true emptiness, the profound wisdom, then you realize all Dhammas are empty of characteristic, anasana. But when in the conditioned world, they got the three universal characteristics, you realize or not? That's why the Buddha teach anicchang dukkang anatta, anasana, impermanent, suffering state and non-suffering. Because these are in the conditioned world, when there is delusion to grab and to cling. But when you see beyond the conditioned world, in the ultimate true nature, in true emptiness, ultimate wisdom, all Dhammas are empty. Or characteristic, understand? Cannot be talked about, cannot be spoken. That's why they are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor decrease. Eh? Just give me a minute. Eh? Hello. Okay. Sorry for the interruption. Eh? Okay, we continue. Eh? This section covers the more subtle, formless Dhamma at the mind level. Eh? Remember, last Sunday, I told you we are going to another, what they call, section of the Heart Sutta. We have finished the five aggregate of form and mind, the first aggregate of form. Eh? Where form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Then now we are moving into the four mental aggregates. They are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. The Pali word is Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. Vedana is feeling. These are mental. Then Sanya is perception. They call it cognition. Okay. Then the third one is sankhara. Sankhara is all your mental activity. That's why they call it mental formation. In fact, it's more than that. All your thinking, all of your mental intention, your planning, your scheming, your views and opinion, everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception, they are all sankhara. Understand? Sankhara is the content of consciousness. Whatever that is within the content, all the thing that is moving inside. And finally is consciousness. Consciousness is the what they call like a receptacle, understand not? A container, a receptacle that hold the content. So when you add these two together, it become a thought, understand not? Whereas the pure thought is without its content, understand not? The pure thought is just pure awareness without content, understand not? But that one cannot arise unless you are enlightened. Okay, we go on. This section cover the more subtle, formless Dhamma at the mind level. Means they are very, very subtle. Means they are not so tangible, not so solid as external form. Understand? External form, you can perceive them. There is this solidity. There is this, what they call, perceptibility. Understand? Means there is visual form. There is hearing form. Understand? All these forms, they are more solid, more perceptible. Whereas feeling is within the mind. Understand? Nothing, not tangible. Cannot see. Understand? Then what you perceive is also mind, understand? Very subtle inside and very fast it moves. Whereas form, you can take your time to observe, understand? To acquainted with, to understand. But at the mind level, you cannot see anything. Thank you so much, Amy. On the light, some of you all cannot see, a bit dark. So when you understand that mind consciousness, the content, which is the aggregate of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, they are a lot more subtle. So you need mindfulness. You need to be very heedful within and aware to see them. That's why your meditation, you must go deep into it. You must develop the daily mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot see. These four aggregate of form are very, very subtle, a lot more subtle than the form aggregate, the aggregate of rupa. So that's why you need to develop the mindfulness, stabilize it. Okay? Okay, we go on. These are the definition that Xuanhua used. I just explain to make it easier for you to understand. On page 63, he said, true understanding. Understanding means wisdom, understand? Then when he said, defeat them, imply you are no longer deluded by them, understand? Then feeling of happiness, this implies pleasant feeling. The Theravada tradition, they call this pleasant feeling. But in the Mahayana term, they say, there is a feeling of joy or happiness. Then feeling of suffering implies the unpleasant feeling. Then feeling which are characterized by neither happiness or suffering, they are called neutral feeling. And the one that don't have wisdom, they call it indifference. So indifference is a delusion. Understand not? Then there is this part that the Heart Sutta mentioned together with the verse, the poem. In the pure and deep ultimate silence, see, they also emphasize on silent, the silent mind. All creations are transcend. What is this creation? The thought. Your mundane mind, your consciousness. That's why this consciousness is a magician. It creates everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile, you feel and think. So all creation is transcended. That's why you have to have this pure and deep ultimate silence, the true silent mind, without thought, without delusion, without anything conditioning of the mind. Because all your conditioning is delusion. Yeah. So when you are able to do that, a sudden awakening to the original, perfect fusion of self and Dhamma, means you connect back to your true nature, understand? That's why I say a sudden awakening to the original, perfect fusion of self and Dhamma. Self is the Sakkaya Ditthi, the delusion. And the Dhamma is also the creation part, understand? That's why you have this self-delusion, Sakkaya Ditthi, that hold on to all the creation and all the Dhammas, understand? So when these two fuse together, it ceases to be, understand? That's why there is no one to know, nothing to know. These are all knowledge. These are all out to cause you confusion and delusion. So when you have the wisdom, you see them clearly. They are all empty. Yeah. That's why I put there the remark. When the mind realizes itself, all this can happen. Realize itself means what? The mind awakened to its own delusion, stupidity. Understand? That's why Krishnamurti say you must see thought. The power of thought to divide. The power of thought to create confusion and delusion. All this you must see. The limitation of thought. Then you must have the awareness of your reaction through your own conditioning, your wrong view. So these are all the things that you need to understand through the silent mind. When you see yourself behaving this way, then you realize this one that react and do all these things is not you. It's because of delusion, this mind, this consciousness, this fire creates, starts to create havoc. Then if you deludedly believe what this fire aggregate is doing, then you grasp and cling. That's why you become deluded. This is ignorant. That's why you cannot break free. But when the mind realizes itself, it like wake up. Understand? That's why all of creation is transcended. Means you can see clearly. They are all mind-made, like the Buddha said. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises when mind arises. Mind make are they, understand? 一切为心造, understand? 心造成的, understand? Created by the mind, understand? Through what? Consciousness. Through your delusion that grabs and clings and holds. They are never real. That's why they have this characteristic. They come and they go. The moment you grasp and cling, you suffer because they follow nature's law. They follow the mental dependent origination dwelling. And because they come and they go, how can it be you or me or the I? Understand? How can you try to own something that is conditioned arising? Understand? That is so empty and unreal. Understand? It's just consciousness. That's why the whole of creation, the secret is a world of consciousness, nothing else. What is consciousness? Just a mind energy field, understand? Arise and pass away, arise and pass away. Then why do you deludedly grasp and cling? How come it has power to make you so miserable and so deluded? Basically, that is what you need to understand. The moment you understand, you awaken, thought got no power. Understand? All of creation transcended. Nothing can delude you anymore. That's why when you start to have this type of wisdom, you realize everything is not what you think. It's very fake, very false. I still remember 20 years ago, when the moment I realized all these things, I say, oh, this is the truth. Really shocking. No wonder living being cannot see. Everything is so fake. So unreal. Understand? That's why I can share, I can teach, I can say all those things. Because I understand. Then when I was taking my bath and everything, I realized the mind that can tactilely feel through the sensation or the touch. That is the only thing that is more tangible, more real than any other thing. Well, the other thing is just consciousness, created through seeing, hearing, or like magic show. Understand? Open your eye, pop, come out already. The whole creation within the field of seeing, then hearing, same. That's why you shut your eye, the whole creation is gone. But when you are taking your bath, the water, everything, without concept, you can silence your mind and feel. Everything that moves, your mind can perceive it through the touch, the sensation, the feeling. At least that is more tangible, understand not? Like when you brush your teeth, that sensation is more tangible. But like a bubble, arise and pass away, arise and pass away. That's why everything is so unreal, understand not? Then you start to see the empty nature, the anatta nature. Do also like that, don't do also like that. Why you worry about death? Oh, this one haven't done, that one haven't done. Who haven't done? You. You think there is a you. My son, my wife. They are another form of mind like you. Anytime this one can go, understand not? Why you worry about all these things? It's all in the thought, understand not? Whether you do anything or not doesn't make any difference. They are just the way they are. Karma will take care, understand? Sometimes when you don't do anything, they are forced to learn. They are forced to do it. Like the first generation kid. If you too worry for them, you pamper them, provide for them, you make them worse, understand? They become more dependent. Then they are not independent. That's why the modern day kid, a lot of them has this type of problem. They become dependent. They are the parent. Everything also in the name of love. Actually, they are pampering them. This one don't do, that one don't do. No need to do. The maid will be there. How they buy the car also they don't know. Who pay insurance also they don't know. And how to get road tax also they don't know. The house also. How they pay bill and how all these things happen, they don't know. We have no need to do. Parents take care of everything. But when parents not around, then they become so, like, dependent. So you need to train your children, understand? Just like the way we train ourselves. First generation, we come, we learn everything. And we become more, what they call, strong. We can survive better, understand or not? We are less dependent on anything, because we know our parents are not so educated. We cannot depend on them. Everything we must work on our own. Because there are a lot of things that we come into contact, they have never experienced. That's why they cannot help you. That's why when I came to the university, everything I do myself. Buy bus ticket, buy train ticket, then how to find your way to the university. Then how to move around, how to survive, how to go and rent for room, how to get your own breakfast, how to wash your own shoe and clothing and all. You have to do yourself. And because of that, we learn. We become less dependent. We become more what they call strong in our understanding and character of life. Then we can survive. Like now, let's say December 2012, suddenly there is a maybe disruption in power, water, everything. I tell you, the second generation don't know how to survive. We know how to survive. We know how to look for water, understand? We know rain that time, we can go and tap from the roof. Because we have seen it before. When we were young, we tap before. My house got this tap house. There's a tin chair. Where all the water run there. We used to collect water there. And we know there's a lot of water there. Then, worst come to worst, go and dig a well. Understand? Go to a low-lying area, dig a well. Then look for food. Understand? When we're young, we go around all the plants. So, you need to have this survival skill. Otherwise, I tell you, they become very dependent. They say, no electricity, oh, mommy. How? No gas, oh. Cannot cook. Oh, no light, oh. He only know how to panic. No light. Go and look for candle. I said, no. Or now got LED light. Go and buy. Then go and store some provision for yourself. These are the things that we have the understanding, because we have gone through. We are first generation kids. So survival, you need to develop the understanding, train them, pass on the experience to them. Then tell them your life, you decide how you live. I only advise you as parent. That's it. What I know, I pass it down. Yeah. Okay, next one. Part 3, meditation. This part is more interesting. Reporting and questions. There was a question. I think somebody report her meditation. Then there's a question. She said, it's a lady. When I listen from my heart, your Dhamma sharing, I feel very peaceful and am very happy. And there's a lot of clarity. But this state does not last. Why is it that I feel this way? This lady who asked the question, she actually quite new to the Dhamma and very young. And very few people at this age will seek the Dhamma unless you have your past affinity and cultivation. That's why I answer her. I said, this could be due to your past cultivation that enable you to have this ability to listen from your heart and to look, and it looks like conditions are now ready for you to connect back to your past cultivation. You will progress very fast from now on, because when you know how to listen from your heart with your full awareness, understand not? When you are at the heart with your full awareness, then the brain which is up in your forehead will not interfere, understand not? That's why it will not condition you to think, comment, judge, or react so strongly as before. When your attention is most of the time at your forehead while listening. This one, I don't have a chance to explain to you all this while, because there was no condition, because nobody asked. And this one I came to know long time ago. That's why I know how to listen from the heart. That's why I go to the heart, because finally it connects me to the heart. Then I realize the brain is up here. The awareness is here. Because of that distance, I don't think so much. No thought. The conditioning doesn't come down, understand? When I'm fully aware, I'm just aware. There is no interference from the thought. Because what is thought? What is thought? Respond to? Memory, isn't it? And memory is where? Inside your brain, isn't it? That's why when you think from here, look from here, see from here, everything you do, your senses are all here. That's why you think a lot. You got a lot of thought. Because all focus at the head there, understand? All of your major senses are here, you know, not? Your eye, your ear, your nose, your mouth, your tactile. They are all on your head. That's why here can develop what they call knowledge and intelligence. Because this one, you perceive, you see, you think. Understand? Then you create. Understand? Whereas the heart feel. Understand? It doesn't think. Understand? It uses intuitive nature to feel. That's why the baby, when very young, newborn especially, they don't have to open their eyes. They will know whether the mother is near them or not. Because they can smell you. You got a certain type of mato, they call. your smell. Understand not? They can sense you. That's why somebody else, they cry. Understand not? Then they can feel your love. Because they use this sense to feel. They don't have thought. There is nothing to interfere. Just like the animal. When you are sad, the animal will know. They can feel you. Why? Because they don't think. Or very little thinking. So when you don't think, you are with your senses. They are very clear and very sharp. That's why when you listen from your heart, there is clarity. There is no interference from the thought. This is the way you listen, you know, not the art of listening. Not listen from your forehead here and keep on reacting and commenting, understand? Wrong, cannot be like that. This guy, the moment you are preoccupied with all your this judgment reaction, how can you listen? Understand? You no longer can see things as they are. You no longer can feel, be aware
you no longer can see anything because you are preoccupied with your thought process. So you can only do one thing at a time. If you are not silent, you cannot be aware. If you are not silent, you cannot understand anything. That is beyond thought, beyond mind. Understand not? That's why you actively use your thought, no use. You can have a lot of knowledge. You can become a great professor or PhD or whatever. But you don't have the real wisdom. Because if you don't use your heart, your creative nature, your silent mind, you cannot see, you cannot understand, you cannot awaken. Wisdom cannot come in. So now you understand why you must listen from your heart. Don't go and ask why other monks don't teach, why I teach. Forget about it. Investigate into it yourself. Understand or not? Find out yourself. Whatever is the truth, they will stand up to investigation. Don't believe anything that is spoken. Okay, we go on. Since thought are response to memory, so by listening from your heart, there will be very much less thought, understand or not? But initially, it will be like the listening is bits and pieces, not really connected to the memory, understand or not? Because when you first listen from your heart, I remember, like not connected, understand or not? Because the memory is up here. When I listen from here, it's not connected. Then the perceiving, the understanding, like slower, understand or not? It's like a child, haven't learned all these words, understand or not? So, need to learn it from the pure awareness, understand or not? Not through the brain, understand or not? So that's why you have to listen from here. Then slowly, like you learn how to understand things, then slowly, it will develop the ability to understand. That's why you can listen from your heart. You don't have to listen from your forehead. And when you listen from your heart, it's very different. There's a lot of clarity. So this part is very important. It's like bits and pieces, not really connected to the brain or memories. But don't worry, because it is normal. And you should continue to listen from the heart until it becomes normal and natural for you to do that. So when you are able to do it, then it becomes like normal again. That's why last time I used to tell you, I have to learn to use that pure mind, the true mind later on. When the mundane mind collapse, I had to learn like a baby, learn to use that mind, like no mind inside. That's why you have to develop this ability to listen from the heart without the thought interfering. Okay, but don't worry because it is normal and you should continue to listen from your heart until it becomes normal or natural for you to do that. Actually, that is the correct way of listening. Listening with your full awareness or attention and full consciousness without the interference of thought. It is a sign of good progress. Also understand that, like all phenomena, it is impermanent. So do not expect this same experience to be repeated all the time, especially during your daily life, when you are not at a conducive way place to listen to the true Dhamma. Then your habitual tendency of listening from your forehead, which is your brain area, will start to happen again. Understand or not? That's why daily life, you very fast come back to here. But you need to train. You need to train, I tell you. You continue to train from the heart. Talk to people from the heart. Then it becomes sincere, understand or not? Because you speak from the heart, understand or not? You speak from the thought, what is it? All your cunningness, all your deceitfulness, all your greed, your evil root, your selfishness, all come out, understand or not? Because this thought is very cunning, understand or not? Because it likes to take advantage. It thinks. It has what they call upper hand. It thinks it can benefit, understand or not? That's why thought is very, very dangerous if you don't understand its limitation, its power to delude, divide, and create all those negativity. Okay, we go on. The next sentence, huh? Especially during your daily life when you are not at a conducive place to listen to the true Dhamma. Then what happened? Your habitual tendency of listening from your forehead, or brain will start to happen again. Because you have developed it into a habit, understand? No? You every time listen like that, you are focused. Where your eye is there, your ear is there, everything you focus and your brain is there. That's why you think a lot. And when you listen from there, very difficult, very, very difficult. Yeah. Unless you have wisdom. But if you have wisdom, you will not think from there already. Because you know that it's not the place to be. The place to be is at your heart. When you are at your heart, you are with your nature. So beautiful. And it's always there. Always silent. It's connected. That's why ever mindful. Connected. Away within. Understand now? Yeah. Away within is always in the heart, not at the forehead. Understand now? That's why you return to the heart. Mm. Yes. You don't teach them all these things first. You let them go through life first. Understand? Let them understand. Same. You don't go and because they are too young. They just cannot understand. And you don't worry about them because they have their karma. Understand? If because I know the parent, the teacher always say, "Yung sing ting," means use your heart to listen, means use your heart, understand? That's why the Chinese, the Mahayana, the Mandarin culture, our Chinese culture is very good. You should listen with your heart, understand? That's why she can quote "Yung sing ting," but he never know the difference between the thought and the heart, understand? He only asked the child to yong sing ting. But you cannot teach a child when he's so young, understand? They don't know anything. They are not ready. But if there is condition, if your child has his past, he will know. He or she will know. And one day he will come and ask you, "Daddy, mommy, how come when I think from here, I got a lot of thinking, thought? Can I think from the heart?" Huh? They will ask you. That's why. So, you tell your grandchild, you can also think from the heart. Understand not? But this type of thought is a different thought without the what they call the conditioning from the heart. Where this is from the heart, sincerity, with the full conscience. Understand not? Then there also can be a knowing. There also can be a understanding. And this one comes from wisdom. When you listen from the heart, there is understanding. Because you see things as they are. Then you understand with clarity. You are not conditioned by what your thought tell you. All this will take time to evolve, to stabilize. But whoever who have the past, finally, they will understand because they will inherit back whatever that they have cultivated. Yeah. Just like when I come, nobody teach me this life. Yeah. But finally, I know how to go back to the heart. Even meditation, people teach me all sorts of method and technique I cannot do. But I automatically know how to silence my mind. Even the Anapanasati, they say, note the feeling of the touch between the breath and the nose. Focus here, focus. I cannot do. Because the nature know that is not the way to meditate. Then I just silent. I just sit. And I know how to silence my mind. Nobody teach me. That's why when I do based on my understanding. I do it differently. Yeah. Sometimes I listen, I know already. I cannot. Those that ask me to note here, note there, and do all these funny things, I cannot do. Even walking meditation, I cannot. I realize this is not the way. Inside it know, and I cannot explain to you why it know, because it come like that. So when it understand, it will know how to do things on his own. Then I realize, when I do based on what I understand, my understanding arrives very fast. Then when my understanding arrives, I can receive truth very fast. Then I know what the actual cultivation is. When I connect, the moment I connect, I move very fast. Then I connect back, I inherit a lot of my path, cultivation. The moment it come back to me, like suddenly I understand everything. Then the moment I understand, I read the book again, it's so different. Now there is so much clarity. The teaching like very simple. Everything like so clear, all connected. That's why later, I just keep quiet. Well, how to teach? Everything that I come to understand is the opposite of the normal human being's thinking. Understand? No? The normal thing that human being do is all the opposite. That's why truth is always the reverse of conventional reality. What is real to you, in the ultimate sense, is unreal, empty. But to the living being, everything is so real. You tell him not real, he say, something wrong with you, he say, cheesing, he say, this guy. Everything is so nice, he say, the food, the music, all the sensuality, the comfort, not real. He say, what are you talking about? He say, all the branded shoe, the nice car, all the handphone, all the multimedia. Wow, this is life, and he tell you, understand? But the Dhamma part missing. That's why the kid, the modern day kid, they were cling and grab, because our society has evolved until all these are like so easily affordable, available. During our time, you know how difficult or not? Our toy is so different from nowadays. Nowadays, all iPad and all those things, computer and all. Our time, what type of toy you have? Huh? No, I don't have anything. I only got some, what they call, marbles. Huh? Marble. goodie and the ticket. the secret box. Rubber band. These are the things we play. Then we go outside and play the hide and seek. Then we go and play the one. You jump over somebody. Somebody bend down, you jump over. Then you play the top. You spin the top. Then you play marble. Then you play a lot of very funny game. The one they can say you jump one. Lang tao. They draw the square. Then you go and repeat. Then once you do wrongly, you are out. Or you step wrongly, you are out. These are the things we play. But now, this thing is too primitive and too dirty for them. So, civilization as it evolves becomes very different. So, these are the things you need to come to understand. So, when it comes to your children, I have to repeat, she asked a very good question. Because when it comes to your children, don't be too eager to teach. Anasana. Don't say, oh, my children, no, I must let them understand this. Oh, this type of teaching very important. Yes, important. But if you don't have wisdom, you force them, it becomes worse. Anasana. At this age, unless there is condition, they cannot understand. You force them, I tell you, they will hate you. Anasana. These are the age they want to play. Anasana. So you observe them and monitor them. When they get into trouble, then you say, boy, come. You know why? Because you too attached. You actually is already too attached to all this game. That's why now you can get hurt, unhappy. Because when the iPad stolen, he feel like something missing. Or iPad spoil. Then he blamed the friend. I lend it to him, he spoiled my iPad. So all this type of thing will happen. Because they don't understand. They have this attachment. So when it happens, you tell them, all this is what they call life. In life, you have to confront a lot of this. But why must you be unhappy? Then this is the time to teach them the Dhamma. To understand what is happening, then accept the reality of the moment and not to react first. Calm yourself down, understand now. If it's really damaged by him, then talk to him nicely. So, what happened? What did you do? What caused it to be like that? If he confessed and say, yeah, I make a mistake, I drop it. Or, I left it near the basin, the water damaged it. So whatever it is, resolve it amicably, anasana. If he is too poor, don't force him, anasana. If he can afford, then talk to the parent. Is there any way you can do something about what happened? Most parents will be very angry. They will scold that kid, you see. For nothing. Why you go and borrow people's iPad and cause all this? So it will bring about more problem. But your intention is to allow you to have the wisdom that you can only teach the kid when there is condition to teach, understand? When there is condition to share some understanding. Otherwise, don't force. You also don't like your parent to force you there. Things that you don't like to do there. So it's the same for the kid. But when the time comes, when there is condition, you talk to them, they will listen to you. Because this is what they need at that time. But when they don't need, you don't try. It's just like a lot of parents, very, very concerned with their children. Boy, dinner is ready. Lunch is ready. That guy, Choy Little Ngong, he play with his computer. I know, mommy. Because too pampered, understand? If you just tell the kid, dinner is what time to what time. You are not around, I will keep in the fridge. You want to eat, you go and warm it up. Or you go and prepare yourself. Then next time, on the dot, they will come and wait for the food. Otherwise, it's too pampered, understand? Otherwise, they come to the table, they complain some more. Mommy, why every day same one? Oh, he want you to go out and eat. So you need to train them, let them understand. Otherwise, you will have what they call this impatience in you. Then your attachment start to show out. You don't have the awareness. You don't know what you are doing because you think they are your children. So what happened? There is attachment to relationship. Because they are related to you, you feel that you must do something. Understand now? Then you don't have wisdom. Wisdom is even people whom I don't know. If there is condition, they come, I still teach, I still share. But people whom I know, if there is no condition, this nature just let things be. That's why it cannot get hurt. It cannot get into trouble. Then when people come, even after I explain or share my understanding, whether they follow or not, nothing to do with me, understand or not? If I am so attached, hey, you come for advice, I advise you, you never follow. Then you come for what? Then I get upset, understand or not? Means what? I still subject myself to suffering because I attach. Because I have this stupid idea or view that you come to me, you must believe what I say, otherwise don't come. Then I get into trouble. So if you understand God's condition, you speak. After you speak, that's it. That is your sincere sharing, that's it. Whether people agree, not agree, use it, receive it or not important. Understand? That's why even my sharing also say, whether you learn or you don't learn is up to you. Understand? When there is condition, I just emphasize a bit, understand? And remind you, your life. If you miss this one, it will take you a very long time to find this window again. These are my duty to let you know. But it doesn't affect me whether you follow or you don't follow. Whether you are serious about life or you are not serious. Well, if there is condition, things will flow. When there is no condition, things will just be the way it is. Understand? Okay? Then we go on. Okay, second paragraph. Sometimes the hindrance of mind can still come to disturb your mind state. So do not react or stir your mind via delusion. Just let things be, and let it settle back to its natural or original state of stillness and inner peace. Then you will always be at peace and happy. Have the wisdom to see things as they are, and understand all this clearly. Then one day you will come to understand that as long as the true mind within does not stir and create thoughts via your own delusion to think or react, then the mind will always be peaceful. The one thing to react or to be calm and peaceful via the thought is a delusion. This is what is happening to the human being. Understand not? You want it your way, understand? So the one thing through your reaction, understand? Because you cannot accept the reality, you want things your way. Then you meditate because you believe you must be calm and peaceful. That's why you cling to that state. So the one thing to react or to become calm and peaceful via the thought is a delusion. The one thing will create the stirring of the mind. Understand or not? The moment you have craving or desire, the mind will want to do something. Understand or not? Because it wants things his way. Understand or not? Because this mind via the thought will try to control and suppress the negative emotion or lack of peace, thinking that it is bad. Understand or not? Or not right. We are not understanding that the controller is the control. You know who is the controller? Who is the control? Thought trying to control thought, understand now? Because you try to control and suppress, understand now? Like somebody scold you, you say, the Buddha say, anger is an evil root. So what you do? You suppress the anger, you try to control yourself, understand? Not to get angry. This is stupid. The thought want to control. Control who? Control that thought that has become angry, understand now? So the controller is the control. Both are thought, understand or not? The moment you understand, why are you so deluded? Why the thought create one emotion, then another thought want to control that emotion, understand or not? So this is double delusion, understand or not? So when you understand the controller is the control, this mind will not do all this deluded thing anymore. That's why when the mind realizes itself is foolishness, it raises beyond. It can be free. It can be liberated. When the mind is in sati, there is no thought. So now you understand, huh? When there is mindfulness, there is no thought. Thought ceases. So just relax and silence your mind to be with the moment in inner awareness, silent inner awareness. And do not try to do anything. Because the doing is by the thought that will cause the stirring of the mind again. Understand not? And who is the doer? Huh? Who is the doer? Huh? Who is the meditator inside? Huh? Your thought is there. Well, your thought want to meditate is there. The thought want to do something is there. Want to note this, note that is there. You stir the mind again. Because the real meditation is just silent. Like the previous Sunday, about the swimming, the float analogy. The natural state of mind is already stillness. Understand? The meditative state. You just silent, don't do anything. It will fall back into its natural state. But the moment you arise a thought, because you don't understand the difference, you think thought is what you are. Understand? So you think you are the meditator. You must use thought to meditate. That's why you note, you concentrate, you focus, you do a lot of things, understand? Then you want to be peaceful. What you do? You have a lot of other ways or skillful means. Then you try this method, you try that method, you try this technique, you try everything. They are all thought-based, understand? How can the mind become silent and still when you are actively meditating or trying, understand? When you're actively noting, understand? Focusing, concentrating. You are using the thought to do a lot of things, understand? And how can it be silent and still without thought? Don't do anything, understand? The moment you don't do, then the nature is there. But you cannot. You don't want. But throughout the day, human beings, they have been so conditioned, the heedless thinking. They have been doing this for eons, understand not? That's why the habitual tendency is so strong, so strongly ingrained. Because everything you do in your daily life, you think a lot, understand not? Early morning, wake up, worry about this and that already. As you brush your teeth also, you think, wow, office today do what? What is the schedule? What is the what? Your thought is all over the place. Your hand is brushing. That's why sometimes the toothbrush didn't go in also, you don't know. Something else went in also, you don't know. That's what is happening. Sometimes you don't laugh. Certain people, they didn't take the toothpaste, you know. They took something else. And they realize on the toothbrush is not the toothpaste. And sometimes when you poke the thing in, you are not
mindful, it didn't go in. Then sometimes you blah, 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 then it like suddenly hit something. You are thinking, understand? That's why you hardly mindful, you hardly aware of the sensation. When you brush your teeth with mindfulness, it's so different. There is no concept of the toothbrush, you know, nothing. Just the sensation. Because that is the thing that is more tangible. Your mind, you close your eye, whatever that your mind can perceive. If you open your eye, you start to perceive, then the thought comes in, understand? Then toothbrush, toothpaste, everything. Then you're not aware of how your hand move, how you go and take the thing, and how you open the thing, and how you take the toothbrush. You're not mindful at all. Then how this toothbrush come out and take the toothpaste, and how you press. All the mindfulness in between, you're never aware. I can tell you. Most of the time you are thinking. Because it's habitual tendency, you have been doing it so often. And you just take it for granted. As you do all these things, you are thinking, thinking, thinking. So what is happening is, this is already so habitual. When you have been thinking so habitually, so heedless, the Buddha said. That's why heedlessness is what? Not mindful, isn't it? Lost in thought, isn't it? So if your habitual tendency is, throughout the day you have been thinking, thinking and worrying about life, planning and doing all these things, how can you suddenly sit down, want to be quiet and silent? Cannot, that's why the thought comes. Otherwise, you become sleepy. What are all these things? These are the hindrance of mind, eh? And why did it come? Because you have been heedless, understand? There is no spiritual faculty to reverse it. That's why you must develop the puja, like the Buddha said, the sadha, the virya, the sati. Then only it can stabilize. That's why the teaching, they are very beautiful. Then when you understand, you don't live that type of life anymore. You don't be heedless anymore. That's why you start to listen from your heart. You start to develop the mindfulness and the awareness. You slow down the thinking. You anchor your mind to your kaya, understand? That's why to your breathing, or to your heart, or to something, so that it does not run, understand? It's not heedless, so that it's with the moment in awareness, silent within. And then from here, there is clarity. Then you can see things very clear. Then every moment of living life, seeing, hearing, very little thinking. Understand? You still use thought, but very little. Well, most of the time you're aware. And the moment you're aware, you need to understand, you just allow the creative nature to arise, the creative thought for you to understand. Because when you, from here, without the interference of the heedless thinking, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no unhappiness, no emotion, no evil root. Your mind is so peaceful, so beautiful, a lot of clarity. That's why you can see things clearly. You can make better decisions. You can live your life in a better, much better way. Without all this delusion and confusion. So slowly, slowly, as you develop understanding, your daily mindfulness must come. Without daily mindfulness, there is no meditation, I tell you. Without heedfulness, you are agitated. You must be ever mindful, constantly meditative. If you cannot do that, the real awakening and wisdom cannot come. You can do what you like. What type of fantastic meditation you go and try. You can never understand your mind. You can never understand your fear, your delusion. How you grasp and how you cling. You can never liberate your mind. Because it's just wisdom that free, nothing else. And wisdom come about through the direct see, not all the theory, not all the knowledge, not all the words, nothing to do with all those things. Okay? Okay, we go on. When one understands that the natural state of mind before the stirring is stillness without thought. So this is a very important understanding. Then meditation becomes very simple, just like the case of swimming. For example, swimming. If we understand that the natural state of our body is already buoyancy, because it is lighter than water, then why do you need to learn how to float? Correct or not? It's redundant, isn't it? Why I want to learn how to float? If I know my natural body, the natural tendency is buoyancy. Because I'm lighter than water. There's a lot of cavity and air inside. Understand? So if you are lighter than water, you let go, don't do anything, you will float. So no need to learn how to float, understand? No need to hold on to a float to float, understand not? It's just like meditation. If your original state of mind is already a meditative state, why must you learn to meditate? Why must you learn to note this and note that? Just silent. But because human beings' problem is, they are so habitually conditioned by their heedless thinking in their daily life, they cannot stay quiet. Understand? It's just like swimming. You dare not let go. You dare not let go and do nothing. Because the moment you let go, your body sinks first. Understand? Before the up thrust come and push it up, what happens? You freak. There is fear. That's why you struggle. Because you don't trust. Understand now? You don't understand that your body, the natural state is buoyancy. This truth, this understanding is not understood. That's why you develop delusion. Then you struggle. Understand now? And the moment you struggle, you should drink water. Understand now? Because you panic. Understand now? Okay, we go on. Just let go and don't do anything and trust that your natural state of your body is buoyancy. Then your body will just float. We are not doing anything. But instead, most people struggle in the water to keep afloat. Correct? And in the process, what happened? You sink down and drink water because of their fear and lack of understanding or delusion. So similarly in meditation, if we understand that the natural state of mind is already the meditative state of silent inner awareness without thought, then we just let things be and don't do anything, understand not? And the mind will settle down to its natural state of peace, tranquility, stillness on its own, just like the swimming analogy. That's why I always tell you all, relax and silent. No need to do anything. Understand not? But the trouble is, most of you don't have faith, don't have confidence. You want to meditate. You think you must note something, then only you meditate. Because you have been conditioned by that. I must note the rising, falling, then I do vipassana. You go and note. That is just an initial skillful means to train the mind, understand? Like the float. Because you don't understand that you can float. That's why you have to learn how to float. How you learn? You hold on to the float, yeah. Then you use the float to assist you to swim in there. Meditation also same. You hold on to the technique, the method. Understand now? Then thinking that with the method and technique, yeah, like the float, you can float. Your mind is more calm, understand now? Then you hold on to it to meditate. Understand now? You are doing exactly like that guy holding on to the float and swim. How can you know how to swim? Finally, you must let go of the float. Understand how? Then only the real swimming come. So meditation is the same. Once you realize that you can float without doing anything or holding on to any float, then swimming becomes very simple and easy because you just move to swim without having to worry about learning how to float anymore, isn't it? That's why all your method and technique you can throw away one actually. You don't need to hold on to them. They are just the initial skillful means to train your mind. In fact, the mind sweeping method is the best. Feel, relax. Feel, relax. It will decondition your thinking, understand? Then it trains you to be aware at the location you want it to be. And that is a faster way. If you just do that without noting anything, then you just aware, relax. Aware. Relax. It will condition your heedless thinking. Then you become like more and more peaceful, more and more calm. Then your mind is like train. You want to be at the heart, it's at the heart. You want it to be at the forehead, it's at the forehead. Because the mind sweeping method, you can develop this ability to be aware anywhere within your form, your kaya. So this is a very important understanding. The float is just like your object of meditation, which is just a skillful means to help you to train your mind to be heedful, or in the case of the float, to assist you to float. So now you understand, you start to see that as long as you are dependent on the float to swim, then you will never know what the real swimming is without the float is. So in a similar way, as long as you are still holding on to the object of meditation or a mantra or noting something, then you will not understand what the actual meditative mind is. Understand or not? This is your true nature, the meditative state. If you hold on to an object of meditation, means what? You hold on with what? Huh? You hold on with what? With your thought in there. And with your thought, you try to be mindful in there. You try to note in there. So what are you doing? Are you with your meditative mind, silent without thought? Well, the thought is actively noting, holding on to the object of meditation, deludedly believing that when I hold and note, I am doing vipassana. Understand? So now you understand why I say, that's why finally they also know, drop the word note, understand? Finally also aware on it, no need to note. But the problem come later, like Andy brought out a good condition for us to develop further understanding for you. Is it aware of what? The moment you're aware of what means the thought coming already. It's before the knowing, before perception. So that is the problem. All the technique, method, they are a series of instruction to do things, understand? If he said no, you don't know what that means. The obvious thing they do is use the thought to note. Understand not? Then when they say, drop the noting, aware. They don't even know what awareness is, what sati is. Then they ask, aware of what? Aware of rising, falling. Aware of the mental intention. Again, you go back to the same thing. Understand or not? It's the thought again. Understand or not? So when you don't see this, you actually can become gullible. And you can be doing that for umpteen years. Understand or not? And get stuck at the thought level. Understand? That's why you can never go beyond thought. The true meditative mind without thought can never happen. Understand? That's why you look for calmness. You go and concentrate to make the mind quiet. Focus it. You know what is focusing on? Your consciousness is aware. Suddenly you zero it down. Zoom. That's why it's limited. It goes to a point. Understand? You focus, you concentrate. So all your attention is here. What are you doing? You are building up the energy. That's why they do all the energy field. The jhana, the concentration, everything. So the moment you hold on, the mind cannot think. Understand? Where you focus, fix it to a point. When you focus and use energy to fix it to a point, it cannot think. Understand? That type of no thought is a condition focusing. Understand? Fixing. Using the concentration, using the samatha, understand or not? Or using the absorption, understand or not? Because it becomes like energy fuse. Hold it. So when you hold on to something, it cannot move, isn't it? That's why thought cannot move, understand or not? But are you sure it's no thought? Because you are suppressing that thought, understand or not? The one-pointedness is holding on to that thought using energy field. Like sense you, polish until it shine. Understand? Keep on preventing the unwholesome one to come. So you hold on to this one, don't want to let the thought to come. Understand? So what are you doing? Yeah? Through your focusing and concentration, you are actually killing all the thought at the one-pointedness. Understand? So who is the one that tell you there is no thought? Yeah? No thought itself is a thought, isn't it? We are the one that tell you there is no thought. It's the thought that tell you, isn't it? Correct? And they are in one point and they say, I got no thought. Who says so? Your thought tell you. Because when you are with your nature, there is no thought. And then that one, really nothing inside there. And just silent. That pure essence of mind, nature, before the knowing. That's why this one is ever mindful, ever shining. The essence of mind is ever, ever mindful. That's why the Dhammapada verse 23 is the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and the steadfast one, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana. This is the meaning. Ever mindful. Just aware. Without thought. Then use this to awaken, to understand.
to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, to see the thought, to see the mental intention, but not to use the thought to note another thought, understand or not? Or not to use the thought to note another phenomena, understand or not? It's silent. Just aware. Don't react, don't judge, don't do anything. Then that creative nature in silent inner awareness will awaken the phenomena. Then you will see all the characteristics. Let the phenomena come and tell you their characteristics. You don't go and look for the phenomena and go and interpret the phenomena and say, oh, this is impermanent. Oh, this is suffering state. This is non-self. These are all theory the thought tell you, not your own awakening. Understand or not? And that is what a lot of meditators is doing. They go and look for impermanent. They go and look for the suffering state. You want to ask a question? It's okay. Use the mic.
Initially, I think I'm also have this problem by using the thought to meditate because it gives you very calm, but actually, like what you say is you focus in one object. Then after doing the bowing, I feel that immediately after the bowing, when you go into meditations, there is a stage of blank, and there is no focusing, but it's very mindful.
Yes.
And it's not that you can't really tell whether it's calm or what, but it's a state of very
silent. It's a general awareness, because when you bow, your mind and your body move as one. Your thought actually start to slow down. Because when you start to be with the moment, means your mind and the body move as one without thought, what is happening? You are actually slowing down your thinking, understand? You are cutting off your thinking, understand? Because you realize or not, your mind, it run ahead so fast. Like when you brush your teeth, it's thinking so far ahead. What is happening? The mind is thinking about office, thinking about the past and the future, thinking about so many other things that you want to do. So this thought that proliferates has a lot of mental intention between. And that is the one that condition you want to do something. That's why sometimes when the thought arises, it conditions you to like want to go downstairs and take something or see a friend. Then you, through your habitual tendency, you straight away move without your awareness to get your car key. Then when you go to the door, you ask yourself, why I take the car key? Because you forgot. You're supposed to see a friend. Or you're supposed to go downstairs to take something. Then halfway at the staircase, you forgot what you want to do. Because you are thinking all along, understand not? And you're hardly mindful. Means your thought proliferate, run too fast, understand? Mindfulness is to anchor the thought or the mind to the phenomena, especially kaya. That's why the first foundation of mindfulness is kaya nupassana. The breathing is your kaya. Understand? All your action and movement is your kaya. The moment you are aware of them, you are within the moment. The breathing is always in the moment. Understand? Cannot be before or after. Understand? So when you are mindful of this in and out breath, you are always with the moment. When you are mindful of your action and movement, it's always in the moment without thought. That's why this daily mindfulness will anchor your mind to the moment so that your thought will not proliferate. It will not arise and create thinking, heedless thinking, non-stop thinking. Understand? And this is what you need to do through kaya nupassana. That's why the Buddha, the instruction under kaya nupassana, there are six categories of cultivation. First one is what? He said, after overcoming, you must read the beginning of the Satipatthana Sutta. After overcoming covetousness and grief, this word a lot of people miss. Then you start to do kaya nupassana. What is covetousness? Your desire, your clinging, your grasping, understand now. What is grief? All of your sorrow, lamentation, and anger, unhappiness. That's why you must have some form of initial understanding before you can do the actual four foundation of mindfulness. That's why the Buddha say initially you anchor your mind, your awareness to the breathing. Anapanasati. After that, what did he teach you? Develop mindfulness of what? The four postures. Because these are the very elementary ones. Throughout the day, you need to sit, you need to stand, you need to walk, and you need to lie down. If these four postures you cannot do, how can you be aware of everything that is happening, that is in between? Understand now? That's why you develop awareness of the four postures. This is the second category of training. Then after that, the third category is what? Sati sampajana. Mindfulness plus clear comprehension of all your action and movement in the present moment. This one is the daily mindfulness. And you must do this. If you don't do this, you go and contemplate the next one, the four elements, the 32-part waste of time. Understand now? Because this daily mindfulness will give you the initial wisdom to overcome your covetousness and grief. Understand now? This will allow you to insight into phenomena, to see the impermanent suffering state and non-self, so that you don't grasp and you don't cling, to see some of the initial wisdom, the empty nature, but not the profound one, not the true emptiness yet. Understand now? That's why it's all this initial wisdom, the Four Noble Truths, everything, the dependent origination, all these are the initial wisdom that you will start to see. The moment you have this daily mindfulness, you start to see the three evil roots, the five hindrances, all you start to see. These are the basic essential Dhamma that can allow you to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Then cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is what? Develop the right view from daily mindfulness. You put the teaching of the Buddha to test, investigate. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, true or not? 183, true or not? Verse 21, 22, 23, true or not? The three evil roots, the four noble truths, the dependent origination. All this, all the Dhamma that he teach, true or not? Then when they stand up to investigation, your faith becomes unshakable. Understand not? Then your virya become very strong. That's why your mindfulness stabilizes. The moment your mindfulness stabilizes and your daily mindfulness become very stable, you will start to insight into phenomena. You will start to awaken to the basic wisdom. That's why you will no longer be deluded to the extent that you no longer cling. That's why after overcoming covetousness and grief, then you start to be aware of this four foundation of mindfulness. That's why he said body within the body. Internally, you aware. Then externally, you aware. Then internally and externally, you aware. All these are possible. Because when you have this ability to be aware, you aware internally first. Then you aware externally. Externally means what? When your mind is silent, everything that moves or everything that you come to perceive, you can have the mindfulness. That's why your mind must reach the silent mind in sati. When your mind is already in sati, based on last Sunday one, when you have stabilized, then every seeing is like very mindful. Every hearing is very mindful. Every smell, taste, tactile, and thought. You can be aware of anything you want. The moment of feeling, the moment of perception, the moment of activity of mind, the moment of grasping, the moment of reaction, all you start to see. Then all of your conditioning and this form and mind, what they are, the Four Noble Truths, everything you start to see, the cause of arising of suffering, how you become what you are, how you become emotional, how you become fearful, how you become selfish, all through your delusion, you start to see them all. This is the initial wisdom. This is what you need to understand. Then only you can go deeper into the consciousness. You remember the seven stages of purification? Initially, what do you do? Sila visuddhi. This one is at the thought level. Understand not? Avoid evil, do good. Use right effort. Understand not? This one, no need to go into the consciousness yet. You only need to be aware of the evil root. Understand not? That's why when the unwholesome thought that has selfishness or greed or anger or fear, abandon it. Understand not?
the right effort to abandon it. Then when you are more mindful and when you understand, before it arises, you can prevent it from arising. Understand? Then you develop the wholesomeness. After sila visuddhi, you go into the consciousness. Chitta visuddhi. Understand? Consciousness means what? You go to the second foundation. The Siddha Buddha say, you develop mindfulness of feeling. Feeling is it the moment you are aware, at the moment of sense, door consciousness, at the moment of contact, the universal are there. Feeling is there. When feeling has become unpleasant or pleasant or neutral, you must be aware. Understand? This is the mindfulness of feeling. Understand? But the moment you aware means you aware that it has become greed. It has become the evil root. Understand? It has become the hindrance of mind. Then you will know how to reverse it. Understand? To your wisdom. But this is to allow you to say, this is going into the consciousness. See your feeling, how it moves. Understand? The dependent origin. That's like how upon contact feeling arises, then automatically without wisdom, it conditions craving. Then how craving condition grasping and becoming. Then birth arise the whole mess of suffering. Yes.
Talking about these three roots. Sometimes you aware, you see very clearly how it arise and how it deluded you. But sometimes you seem to like drag by it rather than abandon it.
Yeah. No, not to say you drag by it, because you don't have enough wisdom to deal with it. Understand or not? A lot of people used to tell me, Brother Teo, I know, but I cannot do anything. You understand or not? I know, not supposed to be angry. Like one of the lady, I still remember. He said, Brother Teo, my two kids are my best test. He said, nobody else can make me angry except these two jokers. He got so much problem with his two kids. They are very active and very rebellious. Yeah? Form 2, Form 3 at that time. It's not to say it pull you or it drag you. It's because you don't have the wisdom to deal with it. It's just like you know there is greed, but you cannot do anything. And you know it's an evil root. It will make you very evil. That's why you have to do the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Understand or not? You reflect and contemplate. Understand or not? Like the Buddha said, how to deal with the unwholesome thought? First one is what? When there is this anger or emotion, think of the direct opposite thought. Understand or not? That's why develop more metta. Understand or not? Loving kindness. But if that one doesn't give you wisdom and doesn't free you, because it's like a skillful mean, because you just ignore the anger, then you develop loving kindness or metta. Then you become peaceful. But the problem will come back, understand not? So the Buddha said, if it, the first one you realize doesn't work that well, then you go to the second one. What is the second one? What do you do? There are five ways to overcome all the unwholesome thought or the wrong thought. What do you do? No, that one is the fourth one. Think of the consequence, understand now? If I continue to allow this anger to be inside my heart, it is an evil root, it will poison me, it will kill me. It will create a lot of evil action out of me, understand now? And my life, I don't want this to happen, understand now? That's why when you think of the consequence, the moment I get angry, means what? It will condition me into a very evil human being. And what are you capable of when you are angry? You can kill, you can harm, you become very violent. And your karma will fall, understand not? Because these are evil root. Create a lot of evil action and speech and thought. And this will bring about the negative karma that will condition your suffering. Like the wheel that follow the hood, Dhammapada was one. So when you think of the consequence, you tell yourself, my life, how can I allow this thing to happen? Then there is no more question of, relative, I know but I cannot do anything. But your life, you decide whether you want to do anything or not. Understand or not? That's why you determine to abandon it, not to allow this to arise, because it will condition my negative karma. And I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned and supported by my karma. and I am what I am because of my. If I still allow this heedlessness to continue, what is going to happen to me? My karma will fall, understand? And my life will be miserable every time I come. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, abandon it. Understand? Root it out. I no need to reflect also, I already know last time. Straight away, I like wake up on the evil root. Oh, yo, no wonder the Buddha says it's a three poison. It kills you spiritually. Understand? The evil root are so evil. That is the source of your negative karma. And it's called the three poison. That's why it will poison you and kill you spiritually. How can you allow anger, hatred to be in your heart? Envy, jealousy. That's why whatever happens, don't be emotional. Don't get angry. Otherwise, the evil root take over. You will become miserable. That's why Dhammapada verse 1. If you act, speak, and think with a wicked mind, evil mind that has the evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, what happened to you? Huh? Suffering will follow you, right? Like the wheel that follow the hood. Do you want that? If you the one, abandon it. There is no more question of, relative, I know, but I cannot do anything. Your life, you choose, you decide. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. You hold the key to your own life destiny. Don't blame anybody for what happened. So that's why when you have this awareness, when you reflect and contemplate on the Four Noble Truths, you will come to understand that this Noble Truth of suffering is to be understood. Understand now, the second turning. The moment you understand, you will never do it again. Understand now? How can you be deluded by it anymore? Understand? Because the consequence is so severe. Understand now? So when you reflect and think of the consequence of allowing this evil root to continue to stay in your consciousness, content of consciousness, what is going to happen to you? You like wake up, understand not? Then you determine not to allow it to be there. That's why you determine to abandon it, to prevent it from arising through your right effort. Where this is thought, understand? Thought level, you use effort, understand not? That's why sila visuddhi, there's a lot of thought involved. Wholesome thought, unwholesome thought. You have to use right effort, understand not? Then the third one is what? The third one is what? Just let things be. Right? Because what is anger? What is greed? What is fear? It's a negative energy field. Right? It comes about through what? Through your stirring of your mind. Right? Correct or not? Because you deluded. You get angry because you see your son arguing with you. Understand? Not? Or somebody scold you or abuse you or do something that you think is unfair. That's why you get angry. Anger is not you, understand? No. That's why don't go and suppress it, don't go and control it. Oh, I must not have anger. It's not you. It's a negative emotion conditioned by your delusion, understand? No. You cause the true state of mind, which is already the meditative state, to stir. That's why it's a conditioned arising state. Anger is conditioned out through your delusion, understand? No. Then what happened? When you understand that it was not you, and it was not there before that, you just allow it to flower, understand not? The very flowering of that angry thought is the very ending of that thought, understand not? You know how a flower flowers, isn't it? When you buy, beautiful, isn't it? But finally, as it flower, it decays, isn't it? Then finally, no more, isn't it? That's why the very flowering of that evil root, that thought, is the very ending of that thought. You got no more power after that. But the energy all dissipate already. Then what happened? That's why the next time you get angry or emotional or lustful, you just silence your mind and don't do anything and see what happened. You will see here inside your heart, the evil root. Initially like fighting inside, a lot of this very, very fine one inside. Oh, a lot of movement. That's why it can cause stress, disease, everything. But the moment you're silent and let it be, don't fight it, don't suppress it, don't control it, the energy field will dissipate. Then it slows down. Then all of a sudden you realize, everything becomes silent again. You must go through that. You must do that many times. Then you understand, hey, I don't need to do anything. My original state is already stillness, peaceful. And I did that many times during the early day, 24 years ago. I just silent. Then I realized, hey, it come back. When I don't do anything, the natural state come back to me. Because this is not me, anger, understand or not? I am not deluded by it. That's why I don't go and control and suppress. I don't go and do anything about it. It's not me. It's a condition arising state. It's stirred because of delusion. Because I see something, I hear something, or I think of something I don't like. Understand or not? Then I react. That's why it stirs the mind. That's why this evil root comes about, this anger comes about. Then what happened? It is evil. If you grasp onto it and hold onto it, it makes you into an evil person. Understand? So what is happening if you allow it to continue inside you? It will make you full of anger. The jealousy will become stronger. Then you go and think and plan how to take revenge. How to deal with that thing. This is all delusion. Understand? That's why it conditions you to act. They call this transgression. From the thought inside, it conditions you to act out of it. Understand? Transgression. That's how you become violent. Understand? Lustful. That's why people can kill, can harm, can rape, can do all those things. Because from the thought, it stirs. Then it becomes evil root. Then they grasp, they cling, then they become that. That's why they take birth. Then it creates all the action, speech and thought. That's why without this understanding, you cannot free. So meditation is just silent. No need to do anything. Then to develop the wisdom, you go to the fourth one. You trace the origination factor. The Buddha said, everything that happened, there are causes and conditions behind. Why do you say it's a condition arising state? You go and trace. All this anger, selfishness, fear that happened to you, it comes through one of your sense door, understand? And the main one are these three. What you see, what you hear, and what you think. These three doors, very powerful. So when you trace, it's through what you hear, somebody scold you or abuse you, or your child rebelliously argue with you because you got attachment, clinging, that's why you get angry. Where you will say, how can you, boy, never have gratitude, some more ting joy and all those things. That's why you create your anger. Because you think you are the mother, you think you're very great, you think the boy must listen to you. Because you don't know how to arise a noble eightfold path to talk to them pleasantly. Understand? The right speech is not there. That's why they also react. Understand now? That's why you don't apply the right Dhamma, you get the negative result. So when you understand all this, then you realize the origination factor is when I hear, or when I see, or when I think, if I react to what I see, what I hear, and what I think, I create negativity. That's why I get angry. I stir. My mind stir. So if you know this is the origination factor, what do you do? Through your mindfulness, you saw how it become like that, isn't it? How this form of mind is being conditioned into anger, isn't it? Or unwholesomeness, isn't it? So what you do? Retrospectively, reverse it. Means what? Next time you hear, be mindful. Understand now? Before you continue to confront this again, you must reflect and contemplate the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Why must I react? Why can't I see things as they are? Why can't I let things be? Why can't I accept the law of karma? I can have right view. They are what they are. Born of karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma. And they are what they are because of their karma. Why did I have to cling, grasp, attach, and worry about their life? They are just the way they are. Only a form of mind, not what you think. Biologically, you could have given birth to them, understand? And you deludedly say, my son, my daughter, my child. Because that biological link is so real. Hey, Brother, I see got my name, no DNA test confirm my son, no. Yeah, your son, you go and grab lah. Because it's another form of mind. They have their own karmic, nature's law. So when you have right view, you accept them for what they are. They are still young, rebellious. Because I don't know how to approach them. I don't have noble evil power. That's why they react. Understand? No? And angry people say angry things. Deluded people do deluded things. So you accept them for what they are. You are at peace. Understand? No? The moment you are at peace means what? You have wisdom. You don't react anymore. So when you are able to do that, there is wisdom to accept the reality of the moment. Then you are at peace. Understand? No? But all this, you must come to understand through the meditation. Not the theory. The theory helps, but can be forgotten. Understand? No? Understand? No? Because it's not inside you yet. Understand? No? But the moment it's inside you, it's so different. You are so mindful. And the stability of wisdom is so... It cannot delude you anymore. What people say, what people do, cannot cause anything anymore. You know everything is sankara. You know what is sankara? Mental activity. All what your thought tell you, understand? Everything is just consciousness, sankara, form and mind, understand? You know who are you or not? A bundle of memory and this consciousness playing all the five aggregate for you to grasp and cling. And this is not you, I already said. This form and mind is karmically conditioned out for us to use, understand not? The body is just element, cannot be you. The consciousness is the four aggregate of mind, which is the byproduct of the true nature. It's also not you. That's why they are impermanent, suffering state and non-self. They come and they go. If they are you, the moment they go, you should die with it. That's why feeling is not you, perception is not you, sankara is not you, and consciousness is not you. And this rupa, no knowing, cannot be you, understand or not? So who are you? What are you? That's why you must meditate to connect to that nature, and you know that nature cannot come out, understand or not? That nature is beyond, but it cannot come out, it needs a vehicle to come, understand or not? That's why this one leaves, this one can arise. Understand? But it's not you, understand? Don't be deluded by it. So when you understand, then there is wisdom, then you don't cling, you don't worry about this. When you yourself know that you are not real, how can your son, your daughter, your loved one be what they are? Not to say you don't care, understand? You can still love. You have a duty towards them. But don't attach to them, understand? Don't become emotional over what happened to them. Not what you think. Not so real. So that wisdom is very difficult to come by. Understand? So the last one is what the Buddha said. When all these four, the Dhamma way that he has taught you also don't work, he cannot help you already. Is it? You must do it yourself with your teeth, clenched teeth and tongue against the palate, determined not to get angry, to abandon it. Because what can the Buddha do? You all the Dhamma way he already taught you, and yet you cannot. Means you take care of yourself. So he teach you at least, determine with your teeth. Clenched teeth and tongue against your palate, determined. I want to abandon this wrong thought. If you don't do that, the heedless are as if dead. That's what you will become. Understand not? Heedlessness. Okay, maybe today we don't have much time. Now it's already 5 o'clock. Almost 5. Okay, never mind. We will continue with this. Maybe we will skip the meditation as before, because I still got quite a bit. Okay, we go on. The third paragraph. When you understand what is meditation, then you will naturally know how to meditate at any place, any time, and anywhere under any circumstances. And you will not be constrained or deluded by your attachment to method, technique and teacher. Understand or not? where you know them for what they are. The method and technique never define the meditation. Understand not? They are just a series of instructions to train you to be mindful, to be heedful, to be with the moment, like the float. Understand not? They are skillful means. They are not the meditation. So when you understand, you are not constrained or deluded by your attachment to them. Because a lot of people attach to method. First thing they ask me, you know how many people ask me or not? What method you teach, relative? All those who ask me that one, I say I got no method. Then they look at me, how can you have no method? No method how to meditate. Logical or not? No method how to meditate. Because I teach differently, I say. I teach you to understand what is meditation. Then you don't need a method. Understand now? Because if you don't understand what is meditation, that's why you need method and technique. It's like when you don't understand that your natural body is buoyancy, you want to hold on to a float, isn't it? You look for what type of float. They got the modern one. They got the old one. Last time we used the wood, understand now? Or basketball. Or the what they call the trunk of the yako. Go ye ji pa floating in the river, they chop that one and they hold it. These are the olden days float. Nowadays modern one you can buy the kit, put on the arm, blow the balloon, put the air. Oh. So many type of float. Like your method and technique lah. This one also can, that one also can. Mantra also can. So what is the float? To assist you to float, understand or not? So that you dare to swim, understand? But as long as you hold on to that, you don't know the real swimming, understand? That's why you know how the swimmer train the kid to swim. You haven't seen. How many of you send your kid to swimming? Did you see how they train? I saw my daughter and my son. They just throw your kid into the river at the swimming pool. Yes, you just throw him in. I say, how can you do that? Don't worry, they will know how to float. They just throw them in. And the kid doesn't know anything. Everybody also jump in and float and swim. They also do the same. They got no fear. That's why they can do it. And I saw my kid do it. That's why the baby, especially the Westerner, very young, they put them into the water. And they just swim. They are in the womb also full of water. And they also swim. That's why the Eastern culture is so different. We so much fear. Hey, don't go near water, no. Don't go near swimming pool, no. You can get drowned, no. Because the first thing they teach you is to avoid, because there is fear. But you don't want to develop the understanding. The moment you understand, it's completely different. But don't go and throw your kid into the river. You make sure the trainer is there. He will know what to do on that. Then the first thing they ask them to do is hold on to a bar near the river. Near the swimming pool. You know what happened? Go under. Take a deep breath, is it? All the kids saw the others do, they also go under. Then they realize very nice. Because they can hold their breath down there. Because the natural tendency. Actually they know how to do one. But because we introduce the fear, when there is fear, they scared. Then they dare not do. So these are the conditioning that will make you become what you are. Okay? So we go on. Basing on the analogy of the handful of leaf by the Buddha. This one you have to go and read. I have given you the book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. You go and read. The handful of leaf is inside there. I think Sister Lee also got circulated. The one following the email compilation that I gave to you all. Not the internet one. She sent out the first one, internet one, not so accurate. The second one is more accurate. The one from the email compilation. Basing on the analogy of the handful of leaf by the Buddha, it is pretty obvious that the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. Because according to the Buddha, he proclaimed under the Fourth Noble Truth,
The path leading to the cessation of all suffering or the realization of Nibbana is the Noble Eightfold Path. So you meditate to be enlightened, isn't it? Correct or not? To be free from all suffering, isn't it? So, the Fourth Noble Truth says so. If you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the cessation of all suffering. It will lead to enlightenment. So, this is the meditation, understand not? So just silence your mind and be heedful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path via the seven stages of purification and the three turning of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Hope this above explanation will clear up all your doubt and enable you all to meditate correctly with the right understanding. Because I have explained long enough already. It should be more than sufficient already. So with this, you only need to refresh yourself, go through the notes, reflect, contemplate, and develop your own wisdom, the three turning. First, develop understanding first. The moment you understand, it's very easy to meditate. Then you become very good in your meditation, very fast. You will progress very fast. But when you don't understand, you can entangle and become what they call attached to all the method, technique through your delusion. Yeah, you want to ask something? Yes.
Further on about the three.
Yeah, it's also in the notes. I have explained them before. Yeah, do you have the notes or not? Oh, they don't have. They are new. Do you have any more copy? Sui An, you can get from Sui An there. You lend them one. That's why this book is very important. This book. This one you should have during the early days. Oh, she is new. Okay. During the early days, I gave this to you all. Yes, that she has. You must read this book because this is a very important email compilation. This one, during the early years, 2005-06, a lot of people wrote to me through the email. Then I replied, then I shared some of them. Then the Kayanamita told me, "Brother Teo, your email is so good. Why don't you compile it up?" That's why finally I only compiled the essential one. And this one got very good condition to explain a lot of things. The tree turning, the handful of leaf, the meditation, a lot of things are here. You can get from Sui An there also. Then I go back and check. I think I should have some too. Because I didn't bring. That Thursday night I gave two copies out. So I don't have any more. I just got this one left. This one I already written something. Not so clear, I think you must get a clearer copy to photos that. I think Sister Lee can lend you, Then you all go. No need. You read that one first. Then you come and ask me if you don't understand. Because the note is very clear. You see, basically it's like that, The Buddha himself under the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, immediately after he is enlightened, after the 7 weeks, then he decided to come out and look for the five ascetics to teach them the true Dhamma. So after he met them, the first sermon he spoke means the first turning of the Dhamma wheel is this sutta, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. And inside the note, I have put as an appendix the whole Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the translation, which I have modified. The one in the text, there are some error. Some of the words are not accurate. So I have actually modified it. Then you read through, you will understand. Inside that Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha mentions specifically, even he himself as the Buddha to be at that time, if he has not understood the Four Noble Truths in its three turning or 12 mode, where there are four truths times three is 12 mode, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened one. Understand not? Even he himself must understand the Four Noble Truths that way. What more? for others, the monk and you. So the four noble truth, he turned it three times. He said, there are three types of wisdom that comes with it. The first turning is he proclaimed the four noble truth, exactly like in the teaching. The noble truth of suffering, the cause of arising of suffering, the cessation of suffering, the path that leads to the cessation of suffering. Then he proclaimed them one by one. So the first turning is when you hear this truth, the Buddha said, if you have your past cultivation, you can develop the wisdom and become enlightened. Then the first type of wisdom will arise. He called it Suttamaya Panya. Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. Through hearing the Sutta, the discourse of the Buddha or the teaching of the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths, you can awaken. That is the first wisdom, Suttamaya Panya. Then after that, he said, if you cannot, then he turned it a second time. The Four Noble Truths, he emphasized all the Four Noble Truths differently. Under the second turning, you must look at these four. Four very important turning. Every Noble Truth, he emphasizes differently. The first Noble Truth is that this Noble Truth of dukkha or suffering is to be understood. This is the second turning. Then the second Noble Truth is that this Noble Truth of cause of arising of suffering is your craving, is to be abandoned. See? First one, you must understand. Second one, you must abandon. Then the third Noble Truth, this cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana, enlightenment, is to be realized. You must realize this enlightenment. Then the last one, this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the path that leads to the cessation of suffering, is to be cultivated. Understanding is not enough. Theory alone cannot free you. You must put into practice or cultivation. You must cultivate it. So the emphasis is all different. So what does this mean? Like the first Noble Truth, he said, this Noble Truth or dukkha is to be understood. You have to inquire, isn't it? You have to contemplate and reflect on what the Buddha said. Why did the Buddha say this? That this Noble Truth or dukkha is to be understood. This is the second turning. When you inquire, reflect, contemplate into what he said, he said another type of wisdom will arise. He called it Chintamaya Panya. Means wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into what he said. So when you ask and inquire, you will come to know. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Why must I understand? Why must you understand? Why? Why must you understand this noble truth? It talk about what? So if you don't understand, you don't even know why you suffer, understand? So the Buddha wants you to understand what suffering is. Means when you are confronted with it in life, you understand that all this leads to suffering, understand? That's why he said birth, old age, sickness and death. If you don't have the wisdom when you confront them, when you encounter them, suffering will arise. Separation from loved ones or your possession will also condition your suffering if you don't have wisdom. To be with people whom you don't like, cannot get what you want. Then in short, he summarized as what? It is your delusion that condition your grasping and clinging to this fine aggregate of form and mind that I call suffering. Then you ask yourself, why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand all this? First, you must ask the final summary. Why did the Buddha say, it's due to my delusion that condition my craving and grasping that hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind that cause my suffering? So I must put to test, isn't it? I must investigate what he says, isn't it? So what must you do? You must understand what is this five aggregate of form and mind, isn't it? Then put to test. When I attach and cling, do I suffer? This is the meaning of inquiry, reflection, contemplate. Then only you understand his teaching and understand. Otherwise, you just believe him, just theory. Otherwise, you will be like most people. No?
What is the first noble truth? Life is suffering. Don't want to investigate. Don't want to. The Buddha never say that. The Buddha never say life is suffering. The Buddha said there is a noble truth that talk about suffering. That is a noble truth, you know. It's a truth. You know what are noble truth or not? Truth that can make you enlightened. That's why they are called noble truth. The enlightened ones are called noble ones. Understand or not? They are not ordinary truth. So this noble truth is to be understood. The moment you understand, you can awaken. You can become enlightened. That's why you must understand what suffering is. What is this five aggregate of form and mind? How come when you grasp and cling through your delusion, you suffer? All this you will see it in your meditation. You will understand it through your reflection and contemplation. Reflection and contemplation is not thinking, you know. It's using your creative nature when you are quiet, silent, peaceful, in a very nice setting. Just like the musician or the talented people, they are most creative when they are alone in a tranquil setting where they can really come out with all the very creative type of music and talent. Understand? So for you it's the same. In your quiet moment, you reflect, contemplate, nobody disturb you. Then you allow your creative understanding to tell you. You just throw out the question. Why did the Buddha say this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood? Then you go back to the first noble truth. The proclamation, first turning. What did the Buddha say? What is suffering? How can I understand? And then one by one you inquire. Why did he say birth is suffering? Understand? Then you go into it. Why did he say old age is suffering? Why did he say disease, sickness is suffering? When you confront it without wisdom. Why did he say death is suffering? Separation and all those things, divorce, accidental devil. So all this you will come to understand. The moment you inquire, you develop the wisdom. So it's just like in school. When you attend a new lesson or a new subject, let's say science, physics, very difficult to understand, or chemistry. First time you listen, you sure blur on it, but it's so new, the subject. So what do? You go back, read through your textbook, understand? Then you discuss with your friend, or you ask your parent, or you go and ask your teacher. So whatever you listen, not clear yet. So after you go back and read up, you reflect on it, contemplate and inquire into it, then you start to stabilize what you have heard. Understand not? That's why when you start to stabilize what you have heard, that will bring about an understanding. Understand not? But the student do it through thinking. Understand not? They don't do it through inquiry. They do it through reading. Understand not? For knowledge, it's okay. Understand not? But for wisdom, you don't use your thought. You can use your thought. But there is a little bit of thinking. That's why it's called inquiry. You inquire. You reflect. Reflect means what? You throw out this inquiry. Why did the Buddha say this? This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. How can I understand it? Then one by one, you throw it out. Why did he say birth is suffering? Then this creative nature through your silent mind, suddenly it will understand. Understand? Then it will start to link. Where you reflect. Like birth is suffering. Is there any suffering? Your mind will try to reflect. Understand? Then you recall your mother, how they give birth. Then if you are a lady, easier still, how you give birth. You will come to know there's a lot of suffering that follow the birth process there. The labor, the morning sickness. Understand not? The amount of things you got to sacrifice when you carry that baby. Understand not? Then when you become pregnant, your body go out of shape. Very difficult for you even to walk and move around. Understand? Then the baby start to kick you and all those things. Understand? Then if it's born healthy, normal, of course, not much suffering. But the labor is still a suffering. Then when the baby is born, what happened? First thing is what? Cry. Is it happiness? The suffering world is like, once you are born, you have to confront old age, sickness and death, and the whole mess of suffering. So all this will reflect, you will know what suffering is. Then if it's born with complication, there is a lot of suffering in it. Not only the parent, the in-law, the related one, they are all affected. So all this is the reality of life and existence. That's why when you reflect and contemplate, you realize, hey, the Buddha is so wise, so much suffering involved. Now this is how you reflect, contemplate. And this is the second turning wisdom. But to awaken, you must do the third turning, very penetrative. Third turning is called Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is meditation, meditative. The meditative discipline. So the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha or suffering has already been understood. The third turning is all about enlightenment. Has already been understood means what? You know what suffering is. You know the cause. You know the path that leads to the cessation. You know the cessation of dukkha. So all the four noble truths you have understood. That's why this noble truth of suffering has already been understood. Means you know what is suffering, the cause, the cessation, and the path that leads to the cessation. And that can only come about through the meditation. That's why it's Bhavana Maya Panya. So the third turning is always about meditation, bhavana, nothing else. So this is the summary, the gist, and I have explained it very clearly inside there. You go back and read through it. Eh? It is very useful. Now you can read the email compilation again. You don't read, you miss a lot of things. There are a lot of things inside there. Okay, we go on. Eh? The second question, this one I think is very good. I think this one Ingbi asked one. Where is Ingbi? Ingbi is in the toilet. Okay. Brother Theo, he said, you are the only teacher who asks us to silence our mind and stay at the heart area. But why no other monk or text ever advise us to focus on the heart area? So that was the question, okay, which is a very good question. So I remember I told her, don't worry about what others say, just investigate and find out for yourself. Understand or not? Because the Dhamma is like that. A lot of things that I come to understand also nobody talk about, the book also don't try. Understand or not? That's why the Buddha said the Dhamma is pacetang. You know what is pacetang? Can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, nobody else. Only the wise one understand. Because when the wise one awaken, they really understand. So when you understand already, you don't have to check with anybody, understand or not? You don't have to check with the textbook or the authority, understand or not? Or somebody who claim to hold the authority of this understanding. Well, like the Buddha said, it can only be understood by the wise. The wise one will understand. That's why no need to worry about what people say, understand or not? When you awaken, you understand what this thing is very clear, and you dare to say it, even though the book never write about it, understand or not? Even other people never teach about it. Just like the Buddha, when he became enlightened, he proclaimed the Four Noble Truths, which is so different from the meditation at that time. Well, at that time, they talk about samatha, jhana, all the Hindu practices. Remember? Kundalini and all those things. He is the only teacher that teach mindfulness. Understand? Awareness, sati. But nowadays more. Nowadays you got Eckhart Tolle talk about power of now. Krishnamurti talk about awareness. More and more now. In the past he was the only one that talk about sati. Mindfulness, nobody else. Everybody talk about concentration, focusing, the thought. Or the, what they call, great meditation, samatha, experiences. So this is what is happening to the world. That's why when you have that understanding, born of your own investigation and cultivation, you will understand it yourself. So don't try to worry about what people say, just investigate and find out for yourself. Then also I remember, I always remind you all, don't quote me.
do not quote me, or do not quote me saying anything, because you may not understand what I meant. Then you may get me and yourself into trouble unnecessarily. Understand or not? If you are not careful, then you may end up arguing with them over method and technique again. You know why? You see, Brother Teo says, use the heartbeat. Stay at the heart. Then become another technique again. Understand or not? Then you get me into trouble. I never ask you to use this as a technique. Understand or not? I only ask you to come here to look for the gateway. Understand? When you are ready, when you are not ready, don't try to do all this foolish thing. Just develop the understanding gradually. And finally, you will come to this place where this is the source. This is where it connects. Understand or not? That's why your heartbeat is here. You know what is heartbeat or not? Pulse of life. You know what is pulse of life or not? P-U-L-S-E. Huh? That is your life force, understand? From your karmic force. Give you the life force. That's why you can have your heartbeat to become alive, understand? To be a human. So this is the life force that comes from your karmic nature. This is the seat of consciousness, understand? This is where the life force arises and passes away. So if it comes from here, you must go back to this place to connect back to your nature, understand? Your spiritual nature, your karmic nature, all come through this heart. That's why the Buddha say, your true mind is in your heart, durangamang, inside a cave, understand or not? That's why those who know, they know it is the heart, not your brain, understand or not? Your brain is all memory, understand or not? Yes. Wait, you pass the mic to her. Otherwise, it's not recorded, for the benefit.
Brother Teo, you're talking about the heart. Yes. Is it the same as the citta, is it? Citta.
You see, the very dangerous thing is, don't go and cling to the word that people say. This citta, mana, and all those things, this Pali word, you will come to understand automatically later on. Understand not? Even anicang, dukkang, anatta, sankara, vinyana, all these things you will come to understand. When you don't understand, they argue. What is vinyana? Why sometimes you call vinyana? Why sometimes you call citta? Why sometimes they call mana? Mind and all. So, you are very confused. But these are all words. Understand not? You see, when it comes to the mind is very different because there are so many mind. The mundane mind, the thinking mind. Understand not? Then they got the true mind. Then they got the true nature. These are all very different, but you cannot use words to describe, understand or not? Because the Pali word is very unique, because in the time of the Buddha, he used this. That's why he used the word cittanupassana, understand or not? He used a lot of citta, but other place he used vinyanang, understand or not? Vinyanang is consciousness, understand or not? When consciousness together with its content, it becomes citta, understand or not? You understand or not? No, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, with its content, understand or not? Without its content, it's just pure consciousness. That's why it's a receptacle, understand or not? But when the content is there, then it becomes citta. So citta is the thought, understand or not? Nothing to do with the heart. The heart is just the organ, understand or not? But when we talk about this heart, it's like the Mandarin word, sing. Understand or not? Sing. Sing, you know what that word is or not? Your heart. Understand or not? But that one is about the mind. Ichi wei sing zao, understand? Created by the mind. I cannot say created by the heart, isn't it? Clear or not? But it is the heart that is the seat of consciousness. It is here where the nature resides. That's why the consciousness constantly arise and pass away here, arise and pass away through your life force, understand or not? The karmic force. That's why this is the place you must investigate. Otherwise, how can you return? From here it come, everything will return through here. That's why from here it come out and create through consciousness. That's why when you silence your mind, you return to your natural state. And the natural state has got no dwelling. The true mind
It's not what you think. It's not a point. Understand or not? That point is a gateway. Understand? And that gateway can shift, can move. Different time is at different place. Because there are a lot of gateway. That's why you talk about science. There is this, what they call space and time, space travel. They say there is the gateway to enter into this another realm. Means if you want to break through space and time, there is a, what they call, you see the show there, Stargate in there, where they can take you through this, what they call, gateway, gateway into the past and the future. Understand? You can go back in time, or you can go forward in time. So they call it the gateway. No, because time is a fourth dimension. Understand? It's proven by Einstein. It depends on your speed. Then you got the black hole, you got the white hole, and all. And these are very abstract. And this one, if you don't have the all-knowing understanding or knowledge of the Buddha, it's very difficult to understand. That's why scientists are trying to probe, understand now? And they are coming quite near. But they only at the technological level, understand now? Spiritually, it's a different set of law, understand now? So you need to combine spiritual and science, then you like have the ultimate understanding. That's why I come this life, I'm very good in science. I'm an engineer. That's why I can understand all this. It's because my nature know that this is important. Then with the spiritual understanding, when I combine, I can see the whole thing. Understand all? I can understand the whole universe, the whole manifestation. Otherwise, I cannot understand. Because the five universal order that governs all of nature, the Buddha called it Pancha Niyamas, the five universal order. The first two is scientific law, Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama, the physical law and the biological law. Scientists, when they understand these two laws, they progress very fast. That's why they become so advanced. The other three laws is spiritual law, the Buddha teach. He said Karma Niyama, law of karma. You reap what you sow. You are what you are because of your karma. You are born of your karma, head your condition is supported by your karma. So, cause and effect, action and reaction, all these are under this law, the moral causation. Then the fourth nature's law, the second spiritual law is Chitta Niyama, order of the mind. Understand? Order of the Chitta. And this Chitta is the thought, the mundane mind. Understand? That's why those who do one-pointedness, the psychic, there is no such thing as psychic, the Buddha said. It's all following this law, law of the mind, Chitta Niyama. So when you understand this law, you know all of the manifestation is mind-made. Understand now? When you meditate condition like that, it can create this type of consciousness. It can create this type of experiences. There is nothing psychical. Understand now? Like lightning. When you don't understand, the primitive people say God get angry, and you believe. Understand now? Because it's so logical. God get angry, that's why there is lightning. Then there is flood, God angry, that's why they go and sacrifice, they go and kill people and offer. Oh, God no more angry. But after a few more years, come again. It has nothing to do with God. You know how lightning come about, now scientists know. You know how tsunami come about. It's the physical order, the consciousness, all together, nature's law acting together. That's why it conditioned it to arise. Then the last one is Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma Niyama is order of truth, the Dhamma that the Buddha teach. The unconditioned also there. The natural occurrences also there. All the teaching that he teaches is also there. So these three spiritual law, when you understand, you have right view. That's why you know how to live life. That's why you will know what the Noble Eightfold Path is. When there is right view and right understanding, you will know how to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path will come to be. You will know what right effort is, what sati is, and what samadhi is. Then you will have the wisdom to awaken your mind free. That's why you can become enlightened. Then you know how to live life. Because it's only understanding the secret of life, the law that governs life and existence. When you understand, you know how to live in it. But these are the law that governs life and existence. So when I have right view, which I understand how this law operates like scientists, then I progress very fast. Understand not? That's why if you don't have this right understanding through meditation, you don't know what is law of karma. You're still thinking of whether to believe or not to believe. That's why you are so far away. People already investigate and confirm the law of karma is so powerful. That's why you dare not violate. When you understand the law of karma means what? Like the Buddha said, you are born of it, had to eat, conditioned and supported by it. You are what you are because of your karma. You cannot blame anybody, correct or not? And karma is so important, so what must you do? You must take care of your karma, isn't it? How you take care? You must train your mind to be mindful and heedful, yeah? See your mental intention so that no evil root, isn't it? So that you don't commit negative karma, isn't it? Correct or not? And how to do that? You must be mindful to keep your precept, isn't it? When you keep your precept, you won't kill, you won't harm, you won't cheat, you won't deceive. All the evil roots are not there. Understand not? That's why the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183, Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasambadan sacitta pariyotapanang etang buddhana sasana. Means what? Sabbe is all. Papasa akaranang. All the Buddha teach the same. The Buddha said, all evil you must avoid. Why do you avoid evil? So that your karma is taken care of. Understand? That's why you keep your precept. That's why you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path to develop the right speech, right action, right thought, and right livelihood. That's why he said, avoid all evil and do good. And then the last one is meditation. Purify your mind. When it comes to purify your mind, no more right effort. It's all about sati, mindfulness, the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why through all this right view, you come to understand his teaching. Why he say you must keep your precept? Why you must avoid evil, do good? Why you must cultivate the training of the mind to be ever mindful? So that you can see all the evil roots, all the hindrance, so that you can understand how you become afflicted, the Four Noble Truths, how suffering comes to be, the three turning, the cause behind, how you can become enlightened, and how you can cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path to realize the enlightenment. So all these are there through having the right view. That's why right view with regards to law of karma, citta niyama, law of the mind. That's why he teaches you the dependent origination, paticca samuppada, how your mind function and operate, the 12 links. All this is right view, nature's law. That's why when you understand the spiritual law, you understand his teaching, you understand life. And his teaching is so beautiful, so clear, so precise, and so encompassing. It covers everything. Just the Four Noble Truths. All the secrets of life, both the conditioned and unconditioned, they are all there. Yeah. That's why 40 over years ago, the moment I received that book, Chief Revenant, What Buddhists Believe, when I saw the Four Noble Truths, I straight away, no more doubt, that's it, no need to search. That time I was still looking around for truth. All the religion I went and checked. And I refused to look at Buddhism because my mother prayed to dainty on Chinese culture, the what they call traditional practices. They slaughter chicken and offer one. I say, if this is Buddhism, forget about it. But when I received that book, One Buddhist Belief, Chief Reverend was very good. He said, those are not Buddhism. Those are traditional Chinese belief and practices. Wow. I immediately like very happy, full of joy. Then I realized this is the religion I must look at. Then when I saw the Four Noble Truths, I straight away, no more doubt, I say, whoever 2,000 over years ago can summarize all his understanding into this Four Noble Truths, which is so beautiful, he must be the real one. Because I myself at that time, you know, my heart tell me what. Even if I have realized this truth, this enlightenment that he talked about,
I cannot summarize everything like him into four simple and so profound a truth. I cannot do it, and I know only a real one, Sammasambuddha, can do it. That's why the moment I read that four noble truth, it's like I heard it before. Like I understood what is true. Because the moment I read that four noble truth, I like understood the whole secret of life. And I was full of joy. And I know this is the thing I had to go and cultivate. This is the thing I had to go back and do a lot of research and develop the understanding. That's why the moment when I received that book, I came to MU. Then the first day I met Chief Reverend, the author of that book. And that night I meditated. I don't know how to meditate on. I went in. Automatically it come to me. I sat there for a while only, but it was already 4 hours from midnight to 4 a.m. And a lot of things happened. That's why after that everything changed. That's why when you have your past, it come. It follow you. That's why the Buddha is right. He said, every one of us, we are born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So make haste to cultivate. Do not neglect your life. This life, this window is very important. The Dhamma is there. And the condition is very beautiful. If you can have this, stabilize it, make very strong aspiration, and take refuge strongly. Never to miss this understanding. That it will follow you for eternity. As long as you choose to come back, this understanding is with you. That's why you must determine strong, cultivate, realize this very important noble truth. Then after that, determine, make aspiration strongly that life after life when you come, you must have this understanding to guide you, to enable you to live the noble life, to enable you to understand life clearly, not to be deluded again, not to suffer again, not to be like the normal living being, so heedless again. Okay? You go back and read, because otherwise it won't end. It's too long, a lot of things, and you have to slowly understand. We go on. Well, I hope I can finish another 15 minutes. Okay. Okay, we go on. Just say, Brother Teo only share his Dhamma understanding with us. Just say this enough. So, no right, no wrong. Well, we are not here to argue, okay? And we are, as Dhamma friend or Kayana Mita, just take what is useful and conducive and use it for our own cultivation. It is just his sincere way of sharing the Dhamma. And as Dhamma friend who walks the path of Dhamma, we are here to sincerely support, motivate, counsel, and help each other progress along the path of Dhamma without resorting to any inappropriate negativity of action, speech, and thought. Okay? Understand, huh? So that one will do you a lot of good and me a lot of good. No need to argue with people. No need to say this method, this technique. Because human beings have the tendency to defend your teacher, I know, or whoever you learn from. You always say yours is right, because you don't want to be in the wrong side. So don't try to be right. Right and wrong won't make any difference to your cultivation. Right and wrong only lead to argument, misunderstanding. Understand now? Whatever that can be conducive for your meditation is to go and do it. Develop the understanding yourself, investigate into it, not to go and argue about the Dhamma. Understand? When you understand already, nothing to talk, nothing to argue. Thing is just the way it is. People who don't understand, they will say all those things, they will argue. But people who understand, they let things be, they accept the reality of the moment, they say thank you. You want to be right? No problem. You are always right. You can always say, I am wrong, no problem. Because to me, there is no right, no wrong. Right and wrong is a convention. What is right according to you may not be right according to others. Anasala. What is right to you is your belief, your view, your convention. Nothing to do with me. Anasala. As far as I'm concerned, I accept you for what you are. That's why you say you are right. Yes, you are right. I accept you for what you are. Anasala. I'm not lying. Anasala. Because I accept you for what you are. Anasala. Because you want to be right. So I say, yes, you are right. Because I accept you for what you are. You cannot say I lie. Correct? You say, Brother Teo, say I'm right, you know. Go and quote me again. Because you don't understand what I mean. Understand? I say, I accept you for what you are. That's why you say you are right. I say, yes, you are right. Because I accept you for what you are. Understand? Because you are the way you are. Say. So no need to become like unnecessarily enter into argument or conflict. No need. You just let things be. Understand? Then if he wants to be right, well, good. Let him be right. Then no more argument. Understand? Not? So be it. Huh? They always say. Okay, we go on. Yes.
And you say that he's right. He could be taken as that is right. So the calculation will go wrong.
That's why I say don't quote me. Understand? You quote me and don't know what I mean, you get into all this trouble. Hey, Brother Teo say I right, you know. You quote me again. But you don't understand what I mean. What I mean is, you come and say you are right. And I accept you for what you are. That's why I say, if you say, I always use it, if you say you are right, then you are right. Understand or not? Because you are what you are. Understand or not? It's not I say, you know. I never say you are right, you know. But because if you think you are right, and you want to be right, then you are right. Well, I accept you for what you are. Understand or not? That's why I don't have to argue with you. Because what is right and wrong? What is right and wrong? You ask yourself. It's a conventional reality, isn't it? Right and wrong is relative, isn't it? Right to you may be wrong to others, isn't it? So, why you want to be right? Right according to who? You never ask. Understand or not? Right according to you, then yes, you are right. But right according to me, I never say you are right. Understand or not? Because the right and wrong is relative. Relative means what? Right according to who? According to you, yes, you are right. Because according to you, you believe you are right. Understand? But right according to those who understand is a totally different thing. That's why there is no right and no wrong. I accept them for what they are. Then no need to talk about right and wrong. Understand? Right and wrong is a relative term. That's why sometimes I use it because I say according to my understanding, according to me. This is not appropriate. Understand? Not so good. That's why I still use. But you must understand how I meant. What I meant. Otherwise, you simply quote me. You never quote me wrong, no. You quote me correctly, you know. Brother Teo confirmed, no. Say, I'm right. That was the word you heard. But out of context. Because you don't understand what I mean. Understand? So that's why I say, don't quote me. Otherwise, you get into trouble. Because you don't know how to defend. You don't understand what I mean. So it end up, you cannot explain. Then you get angry. Then you argue with that person. If that fellow can talk better than you, you sure die one. Then you come back, you doubtful. Yeah, what he say correct. More confused. Because you know what happened last time when I started to come out and teach. When I started to explain about the unreality of form. You know, form is consciousness, condition arising, unreal. Understand or not? You know what they go and quote, tell people form is unreal. Then this Abhidhamma guy, very authoritative, who say form is unreal? But just for discussion, don't enter into unnecessary one. You know, he go and take out the Abhidhamma book, is it? The four ultimate, one of them is rupa, form. Then they see, yeah, in the Abhidhamma book, form is
ultimate, no, one of the four ultimate, no. They keep quiet. They thought I wrong. They dare not say anything. Then later they say, they decide I cannot share there because it was another society that teach other thing on. Then they make a decision. No. Then they were very surprised. They dare not tell me. No. Then later when they come and talk to me, a few of them, I say, don't worry, we should thank them for allowing us to use that place for so long. I say, no right, no wrong, don't worry. When you have that understanding, you will say things like that. That's why they are the way they are. Accept them for what they are. Don't even try to argue, I say. And they were very surprised. Then it brings about a condition, no? Because of that, the Kayanamita was so funny, somebody volunteered her house. Then we go and play. Then another two is it? I work with this Dhamma reading room, is it? Above BGM, is it? I will talk to the president. Then the president very good. He said, no problem, you all can use. So we use the Dhamma reading room for our Tuesday sharing. Then later on we went to Kota Damansara for a while, that devotee's house. Then you know what happened? Everything turned out to be a blessing in the end. And because of that, there is this, you know, Ing Chai, Tan Ing Chai. You know, he was last time Chempaka Buddhist Lodge, the deputy president, English section, Dhamma. He was told about my meditation. He came with two other person, no, one lady and another one, don't know what, three of them. They came in for my meditation Saturday. They want to find out, confirm. You know what happened? We went to, because I shifted, I went to Kota Damansara. So when I was there, teaching, then they came. I said, welcome, you join us. Immediately after that class, 3 to 6, he approached me. He said, brother, you want to invite you to come over to Chempaka Buddhist Lodge to teach? Then I look at them. You sure or not? I said, I'm just a lay person. He said, no problem. Then I said, okay, let me ask the Dhamma friend, because I said, these are my Dhamma friend. They have been following me for quite a while. I need to check with them whether it's suitable or not, because I don't know the location and all. So, you know, I asked for 3 days. I wrote the email the next day. I sent out. So many people reply with affirmative. They said they all, a lot of them started from Chempaka also, they said. And they used that place before. And they were full of joy. Then because of that, I went over. And you know, the first day when I was there, they had to open up the classroom. 70 old people turned out. That's why after that is a blessing in disguise. So many people come to know. I didn't do anything. That's why I say I accord and flow. Don't try to argue. Understand or not? Like your kid, so young. Why want to argue with a kid? Huh? If he tell you, Popo, everybody think from here. Yeah, you are right. Everybody think from here. Do you want to be like them? You can ask like that. Understand or not? But don't go and tell her wrong. Popo eat salt more than you eat rice. You sure die already. Understand or not? Never do that. That's why you learn to have the wisdom, sensitivity, understand. They are just kids. Understand? So if their cultivation is like that, let things be. Understand? Why want to be right? Want to be right means what? I got ego. I want to protect my position. Understand? Then I want to argue. But in the first place, they never know I was invited there. I never say I want to go there, because one of the committee members invited me over there to teach and share. That's why after that, there was one guy, very good, he in charge of the Vipassana, the library on, the center above Kanan on. I think his name is Bun Chai. He's very good. He was the one that helped me to send out notice every time at the talk. They used to do the recording, all those things also. So you know what happened or not? This guy very good, this Brother Bun Chai, he came and tell me personally, he said, don't worry about what they say. As long as you haven't find a place, you continue to come and teach. He said, I will make sure this place is open for you. I said, thank you so much, but don't create trouble. Whatever it is, meant to be, will be. That's why everything flow. The moment you don't react and get angry and argue, you have the Dhamma. You have the Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? No? Then everything will flow and go according to your way. Because things that are meant to be will be. That's why when you don't understand the Dhamma, when something happens, your mind reacts. Oh, something bad. Because you perceive it with negativity. But you perceive it with wholesomeness and understand, you know there are causes and conditions behind. And you know your nature is like that. No negativity. So how can it be negative? It must be meant for something. Something else is happening. That's why, no matter what happens, you have the Dhamma, you flow an accord, like Tai Chi, Tai Chi Quan. You know what is Tai Chi Quan? You don't resist, you don't oppose it. Otherwise, both also get hurt, isn't it? Because in Cantonese, ngang chong ngang, understand? No? The heart kung fu against the heart kung fu, both also hurt. But Tai Chi is what? I don't resist. You hit, I flow. Understand? No? Then I follow your movement. Until your hand finish that blow, you are the weakest, isn't it? Because your punch has end. No more strength, isn't it? Then I turn the momentum back to you. Understand? No? That's why half a catty can throw 1,000 catty. Understand? Pun kan put chin liang. Pan jing. What? Po chin liang. That is the meaning, understand? Because the harder you hit, the momentum is more fierce. And this guy never get hurt because he echoed and flow and return everything to you. This is law of karma. You reap what you sow, understand? That's why you don't resist, don't fight, don't argue, don't get angry, don't become deluded, don't join them, understand? Don't be like them. Forget about right and wrong. Okay? I think we have to end. Another 3 minutes. I finish this part maybe. Okay. I only advise those who have developed the ability to silence their mind and rest their awareness at the heart. I only advise those who have developed the ability to silence their mind and rest their awareness at the heart area to feel the gateway to their nature. If they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness. If you have not done this, no point, because you cannot understand, you cannot detect the gateway. The gateway can only be detected by those who can silence their mind completely without thought. Understand? Or? And chances are you can do that, you at least awaken to the first stage of sainthood. Otherwise you cannot, your mind cannot cease. So no point. You go there, become a method and technique, no point. This meditation is only done by those who have developed the silent mind in pure awareness or sati, without thought, after they had stabilized their daily mindfulness or anapanasati, and also for those who had trained their mind until the mindfulness is like so subtle and fine that they can hardly feel anything. This is the state where a lot of meditators got trapped and stagnate. Because they don't understand what is happening. Some master or teacher will ask them to do the sitting and touching, means to note the sitting and touching, etc. But if you understand what is happening, then they should stop doing anything, like what I had explained under question 1 above. The reason being, the meditator had reached a state where the bodily vibration has become so fine and subtle. Hence, they need to develop the more refined sati or mindfulness to stabilize their mind, so that their mind is able to stay still and silent on their own without any dwelling or object of meditation. This is like swimming, no need to float. That is mind in sati without anchoring it to anything. Means your mind already naturally aware. Understand or not? When your mind has stabilized and become sati, means you connect to your nature. You are no longer using your thought like before. You are constantly aware. Understand? Ever mindful. That's why the mind is in sati. That all the hearing, seeing, thinking, feeling, whatever you perceive, is all with sati. Very different already. To realize this state, they must silence everything and stay at the heart to detect the gateway to connect to their nature within, so that their sati
can become more refined and stable. Then when they had stabilized their sati or mindfulness this way, they will suddenly realize that they will be able to be mindful even of the very subtle breathing or very fine vibration within their heart area. And every movement of mind via their awareness or sati is like greatly magnified and like slow motion, but with a lot of clarity within. All of the movement is like broken down into a lot of very fine movement in between. You will know one. Like there's a lot of things happening on, even in one breath, one movement of the subtle breath. Everything that you come to perceive, the small movement and vibration, all magnified. That's why doctor needs stethoscope to feel your heartbeat. You just silence your mind, no need stethoscope. You feel clearer than the doctor, I tell you. Very clear. Okay, we continue. When this stage of cultivation is reached, the mind is like very mindful most of the time, in and out of meditation, even when you are not meditating. Even in the daily life, their daily mindfulness will be like very different, very clear and stable, with little or no thought most of the time, and constantly aware. It is like the mind in sati, always aware of sense experience with a lot of clarity. Then every hearing, seeing, and thinking, etc., is like the mind is in sati. And everything is like a flow. That is, the mind and phenomena, they flow as one in perfect harmony and synchrony without thought. The meditation using trust is needed when one is able to detect the gateway to their nature within. And these are usually cultivated by those cultivating the Bodhisattva way, leading to Buddhahood. For more detail, please listen to the recorded talk. Because I remember I spoke quite a lot. So you have to go to the thing. Here, trust means don't use your thought to meditate. Wow, exactly 6 o'clock. So we end. So the last part, we keep for next time. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. Wow, this alarm clock very good, Okay, share your merits with the devas, Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transfer merits to departed relatives. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, invoke the blessing for the country or the nation. Devo vastatu kalena sasa sampatu hitu ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season, and may there be a rich and good harvest, and may the world be prosperous and peaceful always. And may the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous always. Okay, we will invoke the aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. by the grace of this merit that I had acquired, or we had acquired, maybe never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin, Buddha, and the worthy ones.
Let's express our heartfelt thanks to Brother Teo with three mindful bows to Sitya Moni.